This is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinkertoys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinkertoys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. It stands in the shadow of Pikes Peak Mountain, surrounded by lush, old-growth pine. 490 beds inside a state-of-the-art facility. But this is no resort. This is Colorado's Supermax Prison, home to some of America's toughest criminals. And guess who's joining them? Zacharias Moussaoui left Alexandria, Virginia, formally sentenced to life in lockup.
Zacharias Moussaoui left the Virginia courthouse for the last time today, but this time he didn't have the last word. That was left to U.S. District Judge Leona Brinkema, who heaped scorn on Moussaoui before sentencing him to a lifetime of solitary confinement. "You said after the verdict, America, you lost, I won," Brinkema said, "but you'll spend the rest of your life in super maximum security. It's quite clear who won and who lost."
That's CBS's Jim Stewart in Alexandria. Abraham Scott's wife died at the Pentagon. He listened in today.
"It was just like a dagger being stuck in my heart."
The bird flu has Washington worried. Now the feds are paying big money to get drugs in case there's an outbreak.
Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt signed contracts worth more than $1 billion with five drug makers to develop technology for speedier mass production of vaccines.
Because pandemics happen. They are a fact of biology.
The plan is to develop cell-based vaccines rather than the egg-based drugs, which involve a cumbersome manufacturing process.
"Our goal is to be able to vaccinate every American within 6 months of the declaration of a pandemic."
It could be 3 to 5 years before the technology is in place for the country to meet that goal. John Hartshee, CBS News, Washington.
Another night in front of the tube.
Pull up with his little sit.
My whole set.
That means that the...
Flip through the channels. And you may catch this.
"Wait, is that chicken?"
"Yes, why?"
"Well, I was just reading about bird flu. Are you sure that chicken's safe to eat?"
"It's perfectly safe."
"Well, how can you be sure?"
"Sure is. That is part of the government's latest attempt to keep Americans from freaking out over fears of bird flu. TV and radio ads will tell folks it's okay to eat chicken. Eating a fish sandwich can't be hazardous. Just ask an Indiana woman. A restaurant chain certainly is.
"We got a call about 10:30 that she had gone to the hospital because she claimed she had swallowed or was swallowing a razor blade that she claimed was in the fish sandwich."
She said she picked up that fish sandwich at a Rally's burger joint. Craig Banzer is with the chain and says they're checking it out. In Atlanta,
it turns out he had been on an
Defense
exchange.
Secretary
military,
Donald Rumsfeld was given a speech,
exchange program,
and right in the middle of it, anti-war heckler was booed. Thursday on Wall Street, nice for the Dow, was up nearly 39 points in trading. Pretty good over at the NASDAQ, too. It was up 20 points. This is CBS News.
This Mother's Day, give your mother the gift that will last as long as a mother's love. Have a star named after her. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, we will send your mom a beautiful personalized gift package with her chosen star. You may also include a sterling silver bracelet and heart charm with your mother's name and star location engraved on it. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com so she'll have her gift for Mother's Day.
It's a fact. The more allergy symptoms you have, the less likely your allergy medicines can help you. But Tylenol Allergy is different. It's the allergy medicine with the pure pain relief of Tylenol. And it relieves more symptoms than even the leading allergy prescription. Stop. Think. Tylenol Allergy. Take only as directed.
So, you driving right now? What other than listening to the radio, listening to me, are you doing? CBS's Lou Meliano says a lot of you drivers just don't get it.
These roads out here will swell with an estimated 30 million drivers in 3 weeks for the Memorial Day weekend. The Haggerty Collector Car Network surveyed members and found the number one sin is talking on the cell phone, followed by not driving fast enough in the fast lane. Tailgaters, weavers, and speeding up to keep you from changing lanes brings us through the top five. Changing lanes without signaling, road rage, lane-splitting motorcycles, applying makeup or shaving while driving, and leaving your turn signal on round out the top 10. Lou Meliano, CBS News, New York.
A former G-man has pleaded guilty to slipping classified information to a crew allegedly trying to overthrow Philippine President Gloria Arroyo. The former FBI analyst, who previously worked as a military aide to Vice Presidents Cheney and Gore, said he sneaked out classified details for 5 years. He could get 20 in the slammer. Chris Mavridi, CBS News.
Welcome back to Sports Beat with me, Dan Stevens, and we've got Nancy on a car phone.
Dan, I just missed a turn. Now should I take a right or a left here?
You know this is Sports Beat, don't you?
To easily get back on track when you miss a turn, you want to ask TomTom, not Dan.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Grab it and go. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you where you're going.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Sleepless nights, agonizing days. Don't let the stress of heavy credit card debt ruin your life or the ability for you to get a good job. Take action. Call Debt Relief of America. They are professional debt negotiators that work for you to get credit card companies to eliminate 50 to 60% of your credit card debt.
DRA worked with my creditors and cut my debt in half.
Call now for your free debt relief consultation. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Call 800-732-7092. 800-732-7092.
The red light is on. It's time for me to start yakking. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from the left coast. I am your humble host, Peter B., and I'm delighted you're listening. Want to give a shout out to our new listeners in Sacramento, California, on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. And our relatively new listeners on KPHX 1480, the new progressive talk station in Phoenix, Arizona. Glad to have you joining our West Coast audience. KRXA 540, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, and Freedom. We're also on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. So much to talk about. Fingers are crossed. Reporters are nervous because we have been broadcasting some informed speculation that by the end of the day tomorrow, we may know that Karl Rove has been indicted by the grand jury in Washington. We're sticking by the story. The timing may change, but our sources believe that an indictment or more is or are imminent. On today's program, we're going to meet a candidate for California Secretary of State, Senator Deborah Ortiz, currently serving in the state Senate from Sacramento. Also on our program today, Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America, joins us on the program on a regular basis, and we've been threatening we're finally going to carry it out. We'll spend an hour with him talking about his new book, Being Right is Not Enough. I got to grab it here for the subtitle. What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Paul Waldman in our second hour today. And we'll kick off our third hour with one of my favorite lefty journalists, John Nichols. He writes for The Nation. He's a leader of the media reform movement in this country and co-author with Professor Robert McChesney of a new book called Tragedy and Farce, How the American Media Sells Wars, Spin Elections, and Destroy Democracy. That's all ahead, and lots of room for your calls, too. If you're on the Central Coast, jot down this number or program it into your phone, 1-831-899-5792, or just dial 899-KRXA on the Central Coast. You can also call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. I want to thank Matt from Phoenix, who dropped me an email last night. Confirms that the technology is working and people are able to hear the program. And if you're in Phoenix, likewise, feel free to visit the website and drop me a note. The web address, peterbcollins.com, and there are many opportunities there for you to email me, should you so desire. Every Thursday, we kick off the show with a man who brings us factoids from inside the Beltway. Not just Altoids, but factoids. He is Faz Shakir. He's co-editor of the Daily Progress Report, which comes from the Center for American Progress. Log on to progressreport.org and have it delivered free into your email account every day. Faz, how are you?
Hey, Peter. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty well because I am buoyed by what I consider to be justice from the Moussaoui jury near you in Alexandria yesterday. I am buoyed by the performance of Stephen Colbert over the weekend, and I have adjusted my Barbara Lee bumper sticker and put Stephen Colbert's number in there, or his name in there, and it says now, Stephen Colbert speaks for me.
So you really like the Colbert performance?
I did. I've watched it three times, Faz, and I
wow.
can't understand these self-serving journalists who say, well, you know, he wasn't that funny. I think he killed the room. Were you there, perchance?
No, I was watching it on C-SPAN, as probably you were, and I thought that he told it basically straight as it comes and kind of like a Maureen Dowd column, though, rather than the Colbert Show, in my opinion. More mm-hmm. like a straight, semi-humorous, but kind of an angrier emotional response.
Well, I just thought it was dead on. He made
yeah.
the president squirm. He made Dick Cheney squirm in absentia. And I think that the reason that it was almost buried in the media was that they were embarrassed at how he called out their failings.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true. He didn't hold anything back. He went right after them, and at many points did mock the media directly by saying, I thought one of my favorite jokes of his was the one where he calls Bush the decider and the press mm-hmm. secretary the deliverer of the message, and then the journalist is simply the note taker, and all
right.
you're supposed to do is transcribe, and then you go home at night, and then you can write that fancy novel about some intrepid Washington journalist who has the balls to question the president.
Right, yeah. And then the coda, which was a faux video demo tape that he had prepared for his phony application to succeed Scott McClellan as White House press secretary. The editing on that was beautiful, and Helen Thomas did a little cameo. It was really, I think, well done. And the low point in reaction to this, Faz, I don't ordinarily watch Mother Tucker Carlson, but I did catch part of his show as he declared that Stephen Colbert's performance was one of the five most embarrassing in recent American history. And he put it on a five countdown list with Roseanne's butchering of the national anthem at a football or baseball game in San Diego a few years ago.
Well, I mean, so clearly that's because he just didn't like it. You know,
yeah.
And certainly if you just disagree with it, you can say that, but I don't think it was embarrassing simply because of its content. You know, I
mm-hmm.
think the content was right on, and just as many people as on the right who think that it was embarrassing, there's plenty more on the left and the middle who think that it was right on and it was a great performance.
Faz, have you seen the website, thankyoustephencolbert.org?
I have not, actually. I got to go check that out.
Check it out. As of yesterday, I was number 33,000-something or other who said thank you, and there were 41,000 by the end of the program yesterday. So there are a lot of us out there who think Stephen Colbert did a great job. Now, let's shift gears to today's progress report. You bring us some stunning new developments from what originated as the guilty plea from Randy Duke Cunningham, and he surrendered his seat in Congress. He's now behind bars. But the investigation and disclosures regarding Brent Wilkes, the gentleman who bribed Mr. Cunningham, really are opening eyes. We've got hookers, we've got frat boy party games, poker games, limo service, everything but, gosh, I haven't heard about any rent boys or cocaine.
Well, you guys there out on the West Coast are very familiar with Representative Cunningham's exploits, and you know he was indicted just a couple of months ago. And when he was indicted to 8 years in prison, there were rumors about that this scandal would be even greater than the Abramoff scandal, that there would be more people indicted. And for a while, we didn't hear much of that coming out. Now we are, and it seems that the key player, as you said, is Brent Wilkes. He was a defense contractor. He held this prestigious high-class company involving Tom DeLay and Dennis Hastert and Duke Cunningham and a whole host of people at the CIA and within the power of the defense and military complex. And so what we're starting to learn about how Brent Wilkes conducted his business is that he would hold these weekly lavish meetings at the Watergate, amongst many places, which has special resonance and corruption lore.
Yes, it does. Monica Lewinsky lived there, too.
There you go. So he would hold these lavish parties there, which he would wine and dine these lawmakers and even CIA officials, and he would bring to these parties apparently prostitutes. And one of the other defense contractors who was indicted claimed that Cunningham, Representative Cunningham himself, was serviced with prostitutes at the Watergate. And so this whole scandal is starting to bleed out a little bit more. We're starting to learn that Porter Goss, the current CIA director, might be involved.
Yeah, you're naming names. Also, Kyle Dusty Fogo, who is still at the CIA, and he's the third-ranking official there?
That's right. We know he was involved. There's no doubt about that. He's just denying that he was ever seeing prostitutes at these places. But we know that he was involved. He would actually hold a lot of the gatherings and down in his Northern Virginia home. And he was certainly a crucial player because he had a long relationship dating back almost 30 years with Brent Wilkes. And so he was helping to secure some federal contracts that would go Wilkes's way.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This goes deeper and deeper. And if Porter Goss, now this is still a rumor, is that right?
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. We're speculating because there's a leak that there was one person who now holds a powerful intelligence post that is under intense scrutiny by the FBI. So so we think that it might be him, and given the connections with Dusty Fogo, there's, I think, good reason to believe that.
Wow. And the suggestion coming from, I take it it's from people close to Wilkes, or at least who are in on the investigation, is that as many as six members of Congress may be implicated in this?
At least. And it seems that a lot of them sit on the powerful committees, including the defense and the defense appropriations committees, people like Duncan Hunter out there in California, and other ones, Jerry Lewis and John Doolittle, all California representatives. And I think a couple weeks ago we learned that Representative Cunningham may have been wearing a wire. And at the time it was speculated that he might have been wearing it on the House floor, and I think that was kind of put down. But if he was wearing the wire, and I think he was, around various gatherings, I think that's how the FBI is starting to gather a lot of this evidence, and I think we're going to see some more indictments coming down the road.
Now, I'm just imagining the scene there with these aging GOP members of Congress going to a hospitality suite. I can just see the purple velvet on the walls there at the Watergate. And I imagine there is instead of a Pez dispenser, there's a kind of Viagra dispenser, and instead of a cartoon character on top, it's Bob Dole saying, "Congressman, this one's on me." We'll continue in just a minute with Faz Shakir from the Progress Report. Like I mentioned, log on to progressreport.org and read it yourself every day. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize in events ranging from a two-person anniversary or 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the Concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. 712. He listens. He cares.
When it comes to the safety of your family in Monterey County, you have a clear choice to elect a sheriff we can all be proud of, Robert Owen. He's running for sheriff because he has 30 years' experience in law enforcement, with the integrity and skill necessary to provide visionary leadership for the Monterey County Sheriff's Department. Robert Owen's campaign refuses to take large special interest donations. You can't say that about the other candidates who want to be your sheriff. On June 6, vote for the sheriff who will work for the people of Monterey County. Vote Robert Owen, sheriff.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. That makes me the humble host, Peter B. And we continue our weekly briefing or debriefing from Faz Shakir at the Center for American Progress, co-editor of the Progress Report. And Faz, just a couple more items in the corruption probe. One of the other characters who has gotten wrapped up in some of this is Catherine Harris, who wants to be the next Republican senator from Florida. And even Republicans aren't happy about that. And now it turns out that she had a very expensive dinner with Brent Wilkes shortly after, got a contribution to the campaign, and voted his way on some legislation.
That's right. Well, the interesting news that we learned today from the Orlando Sentinel is that Mitchell Wade, who was the defense contractor who wined and dined Catherine Harris to the dollar, I think it was about $2,800. Well, he submitted a $10 million appropriation request that was supposed to go through Catherine Harris to the Defense Appropriations Committee, and Catherine Harris's staff actually objected and raised red flags about doing this. And Catherine Harris stepped in and told her staff, I want you to submit this. It's very important to me. And yeah. So she, and now for the first time, I think we're learning of evidence that she was personally involved in the corruption probe.
Mm-hmm. And Faz, at the Center for American Progress and at the Peter B. Collins Show, we acknowledge that corruption can be a bipartisan thing. It is primarily endemic to the Republicans, but we do have case A here, which is Congressman William Jefferson from Louisiana. And a man has pled guilty to bribing Official A or Congressman A, and there's no other congressman who fits the profile nearly as well. Appears to be about $500,000 over time that accrued to the congressman from those who wanted to bribe him.
Yeah, that's right. I think it's important for those of us who are criticizing the conservative corruption to be equally strident when we see corruption on the Democratic side. And I think that this case certainly merits our condemnation. Yesterday, we learned that the second person involved in the investigation into William Jefferson, the congressman from Louisiana, had been indicted. And from that businessman, we learned that Congressman Jefferson had been traveling throughout Africa trying to get those countries to buy this certain broadband technology that was being shipped through one of Jefferson's friends, and then that money was going to go back into Jefferson's account, and it did through a company owned by Jefferson's wife and children. So he was getting the money all back in return through this little scheme he had set up.
And if it's true, he can join Randy Duke Cunningham and Tom DeLay resigning from Congress and facing the consequences.
Yeah, and to Representative Pelosi's credit, today she was asked to defend Representative Jefferson, and she declined to do so, saying that the Senate Ethics Committee should, or the House Ethics Committee should, investigate him.
Good. Next, I just wanted to ask you what your knowledge is regarding the grand jury and the pending Roe indictment. My sources are a little bit skittish now on the timing, but they do believe that the grand jury voted yesterday and that that Roe and his attorney, Robert Luskin, have been notified of the result.
Oh, that's very interesting. You know, I haven't heard that. I know that there's been a lot of talk about him being a target, which was reported, by Jason Leopold at Truthout,
right.
And
mm-hmm.
A lot of other people, including Ross Story, have kind of distanced themselves from that reporting. So I'm not sure if that's accurate. I think that it's interesting to look at Roe's defense, because Roe apparently went before the grand jury last week, I believe it was, and told the grand jury, hey, I would never have lied to FBI investigators in October of 2003 because I knew that they would later find out. Well, let's look at that story. I mean, who was heading the investigation in October of 2003? It was John Ashcroft, and there was no idea, or Karl Rove had no idea that Patrick Fitzgerald would come along, because he wasn't appointed until December of 2003, and he began his investigation of 2004. So when Rove lied to the FBI investigators in October of 2003, I think he had a pretty good idea, or he thought at least, that it wasn't going to get out, that the investigation wasn't going to go any further, and that Ashcroft would stomp down on it.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. Jason has been very close to the case and is a regular contributor on our program, and I'm going with his instincts on this, although, as I said, the timing could be tweaked a little bit, and obviously that's not in the control of a reporter. Jake in Arcata, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I'd just like to make a comment and get you guys to respond. You know, nationally, the Republican Party is in a political free fall, in large part, of course, due to all the corruption that's becoming public, the stuff that they wanted to hide. Well, it's coming out, and we're finding out about all these holier-than-thou Republicans who claim to be so moral. Turns out they're the most corrupt bunch this country's ever seen. In California, of course, we have Randy Duke Cunningham, John Doolittle, Richard Pombo, Duncan Hunter, Jerry Lewis. It's interesting to see all these top California Republicans in big trouble politically and criminally, possibly. What are some of the charges that you've heard may come down on some of these California Republicans?
Faz, you go.
Well, some of the charges, I think, well, most of the ones that I've heard deal with bribery. And they're going to involve along the lines of the Jack Abramoff probe, where they were selling their votes for favors, and they were receiving, from what the reporting is, thousands and thousands of dollars of favors. So it wasn't just small potatoes. They were, and this was going on over a long period of time, sometimes decades. In the case of Randy Duke Cunningham, it of course went over a whole decade. So these are very extensive allegations against people who have been entrenched, really, in the Defense Appropriations Committee for years together, and they developed this cabal of corruption. So I think that's where it emanates from, and we'll see how far it extends.
Well, and just like they're going to fix the NSA spying problem with some retroactive legislation, the House yesterday passed some really extensive ethics reform legislation that bans travel paid for by lobbyists or nonprofit groups for the next 20 minutes. Isn't that about right, Faz?
You got it right. I mean, that's an important element to the story. The backdrop here is that the House had an opportunity to put together some difficult laws to stomp down on this. And
yeah.
What they ended up doing was passing basically a slap on the wrist. They didn't do much about the free exotic trips. They didn't do much about earmarks on legislation.
Or Watergate hospitality suites. Thank you, Faz. We got to run. Thank you, Jake, for the call. Coming up next, State Senator Deborah Ortiz here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She's running for Secretary of State.
For Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Louis Basil. Louis is the president of Jamestown Real Estate. He'll be talking about how easy it is to invest in the Florida and North Carolina markets and that now is the time. For more information on this show, call 415-830-2496. That's 415-830-2496. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard all over Northern California, Sunday mornings at 10.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I'll bring you personalities and interesting topics from the world of food, wine, and fun. Guests on the Tasty Planet have included wine experts, winemakers, restaurateurs, famous chefs, and others that have made the Monterey Bay region such a delicious slice of our Tasty Planet. Sponsored in part by Paraiso Vineyards' 5th Annual Air Show on May 13th. Call 831-678-0300 or go to the web at paraisovineyards.com.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. You already know that Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina in Pacific Grove serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma in an elegant, comfortable setting. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombi's incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. Your only stop for such delicacies as portobello mushroom ravioli, spaghetti bolognese, crab cakes, and sand dabs is Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa in PG on 17th, just above Lighthouse. Drop by on your way home from work or any time. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. Joe Rombi has three rooms that can accommodate groups of any size from 16 to 60. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by La Piccola Casa, 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in Pacific Grove. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 33 minutes past the hour.
Was it just a giant? Was it the time of year?
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, now on in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC. Good to have you listening in the capital city. And we're expecting to be joined here momentarily by State Senator Deborah Ortiz. She represents the Sacramento area as a Democrat. She's termed out in the state Senate, and she has entered the race for Secretary of State in this, the primary is just a month away, June 6th. And she is campaigning for that post right now. Her opponent is State Senator Deborah Bowen of Marina Del Rey. And this really creates a difficult choice for many of us because these two female senators have done great work in the legislature. And it's simply because of term limits that they will face off in this primary. Got the same problem in the lieutenant governor's race where three really fine Democrats have faced off against one another. John Garamendi, the current insurance commissioner, and State Senators Liz Figueroa and Jackie Speier, all accomplished individuals whom I could support, and it does create difficult choices for those of us who will head into the polls in just about a month from now. And Senator Ortiz has been serving on the Capital Area Flood Protection Committee in the Senate, the Health Insurance Crisis Committee, the Agriculture, Appropriations, and Health Standing Committees. She is chair of those. And she's also taken a strong interest in health care issues such as aging and long-term care, medicine and health care, mental health, neurodevelopmental disorders, and the Stem Cell Research Oversight Committee. And from my viewpoint, I've never met Senator Ortiz. She's done a lot of great work and has not been afraid to stand up for issues that she feels passionate about. What I don't know about are her interests and credentials for the Secretary of State's office. On this program, if you listen even more than once, you know that I and the listeners to the show are very fired up about the election issues, voting machines, and the way that Bruce McPherson has failed in so many respects as Secretary of State since he was appointed to fill out the term from the resignation of Kevin Shelley, a Democrat. So we're in very difficult straits, not only in California, but across the country, relative to the federal requirements to install these new electronic voting machines and the clear failures and vulnerabilities that have been demonstrated. You heard yesterday on our program Harvey Wasserman reporting in from Ohio. Ohio is where Diebold Corporation has its headquarters. And in Ohio yesterday, actually it was on Tuesday, they had serious flaws in the use of the machines. Some of them was very simple. They didn't have the right cords to plug them in or power strips to do so. In other cases, they couldn't get the voting machine computers to boot up. And in other cases, the paper trail, the receipt that is supposed to be printed and visible to the voter, was not produced. So there were serious problems in Ohio. And if you listen on Fridays when Brad Friedman joins us from bradblog.com, you know that there are a number of problems. They're not limited to any one state, but they really are centered around, A, the subbing out, the subcontracting of our elections to corporations like Diebold, Sequoia, ES&S, and the difficulties that state election officials have had in responding to the Help America Vote Act. And there's no question that some good people have tried to do good work on these issues, but they have been thwarted by the voting machine companies in some respects. We've seen in Leon County, Florida, where a great guy, Ion Sancho, is the director of the voting office. And he, because he proved the vulnerability to hackers of the Diebold memory card, Diebold walked away. And then they had to sue Diebold to get them to honor existing contracts to provide voting machines and software for use in Leon County, Florida, even though Ion Sancho really didn't want them. He was stuck between the federal law and the decisions of his county officials, the equivalent of a board of supervisors here in California. So there are a lot of serious issues there, and I understand the senator's ready to talk with us now. Deborah Ortiz, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's nice to talk with you, Senator. And I definitely want to talk about the Secretary of State race and the issues of voting machines that are very important to our listeners.
But first up, just a quick sketch. You're now completing your second term in the state Senate. You've been representing the District 6 in the Sacramento area, and you're ready to move up due to term limits and perhaps your own preparation as a public official. What would you say are some of your greatest achievements in the Assembly and the state Senate?
Oh, my. I authored the first law in the nation to authorize embryonic stem cell research at the same time that Bush was trying to criminalize it. Mm-hmm. Pretty significant. That was in 2002, September of 2002. Gray Davis signed that bill. We put protections in place for women. And then, of course, proposed the bond measure that was ultimately put on the ballot in a different format. And, you know, I've come back and been pretty vocal on the reforms that are essential to this, the $3 billion plus another $3 billion that will be spent of taxpayers' money to fund what is an important and probably essential type of research. So that's a huge highlight.
And let me comment on that, because I am a strong supporter of Prop 71, and I know some of the folks
who
helped put it on the ballot.
Yeah.
And I have respect for you, because you worked with Robert Klein and the group that was assembled to pass Prop 71. But you also held your ground when you analyzed the ballot measure in detail and recognized that it could use some improvement just in terms of the interests of the people of California based on any patents or other developments that may come out of the use of our taxpayer-funded bond money. And I think that that balance is something that really speaks to your leadership.
And I appreciate that, Peter. I think the challenge we have as Democrats, I mean, it was easy for me, even though it was difficult with the opposition in my health committee, is, as you know, easy supporting embryonic stem cell research and arguing against the right wing. The more difficult thing for us to do as Democrats is to, you know, go back to our base and say, well, you know what, we support this. I was the only elected official who debated McClintock and Ray Haynes, the opposition side, on this initiative. I went across the country doing so. But I also believe that we as Democrats and progressives have to also say, okay, biotech now has a corporate responsibility to use the taxpayers' money in a responsible manner. And that means pushing them to assure that poor people and Medi-Cal and our Healthy Families programs will have access to what we hope to be treatments and therapies. And we also, and it's difficult because there has been some movement by some of the patient groups to say that any of these accountability and social responsibility reforms are impeding research, which is not the case. So it's been a difficult place to be in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, I appreciate your thoughtful work on that, and you balanced your passion for medical research and progress with your duty as a fiscally responsible elected official. We need a little more of that.
Well, and it goes to the accountability and the credibility of the institution. I mean, we're at a time, as you know, where politicians are not held in very high regard, and sometimes we lose connection with the voters and when we, talk to only insiders and ourselves. And this is a time in which, you know, there's such a disconnect between those in the legislature that are Democrats that have attempted to defeat my legislation on the reform and the real people of California.
Mm-hmm. State Senator Deborah Ortiz with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, a candidate in the June primary for Secretary of State. And one other item that I would just highlight from your work is you've been focused on health issues of various types during your tenure in the legislature. And I just want to ask if you believe that John Burton's legacy, SB2, can ever be revived, and could California lead the nation with a single-payer health care plan?
You know, John Burton, bless his heart, had leadership in this area with SB2, and I will say, as much as I supported that measure, helped move it through the legislature, it wasn't a perfect. We knew we were vulnerable in a couple of counts, not just the political counts that ultimately defeated it, with big business going to the ballot and defeating it. But we had this, you know, gap of federal law called ERISA. So we had a moment in time where you had aggressive leadership by John Burton. You had a coalition that moved it forward. There were some policy gaps in which still a significant number of Californians would not have been covered, working poor. But we pushed the envelope. We won it in the legislative arena. And, you know, the populist tool, the initiative process, unfortunately, has been, you know, is easily controlled by the big business interests, and And there was a lot of money that went to the ballot to defeat John Burton. Will we ever have a time in history again? I hope so. You know, I want, again, I think we have a little window of time in which the institution, both houses, we as politicians, have to step forward and rise above, you know, our old practices that are really easy, and push ourselves on better policy and smarter politics. And even when we lose the fights like we did at with SB2 or, you know, with the anti-immigrant stuff, we still need to have the fights, because only through those battles and discussions will we achieve, you know, a change in society where, you know, the average person says, okay, I may not respect everything they do, but I respect their certainty and their conviction in what they believe in.
Well, I'm happy to hear you say that, and wish I heard that more often coming out of Democrats in Washington, because I think if they stood and lost on things like Justice Alito and others, that they would make more of an impression and help voters understand the strong distinctions between Democrats and Republicans.
Well, I think you're right. And again, the question is whether or not the Democratic Party isn't just liberal, but is progressive and speaks to working class values and doesn't shrink from the fights, but take on fights in a very smart manner. And we're standing in the middle of history right now with this debate nationally on you know, the role of immigrants in society. So I think it's a test, and let's see how we, you know, get through this one.
And as a Latina, are you frustrated that neither Democratic candidate for governor has taken a strong position regarding Primero de Mayo in particular?
You know, it is a difficult place for any politician. When people say to me, Deborah, you shouldn't support this resolution or do that, I said, look, I have supported every other piece of legislation that protects the legacy of my grandparents. I will continue to do so. It's a genetic thing with me. It's a family thing. Politicians who still feel compassion but are so driven by polls, you know, it's when they blink and they hesitate that, you know, I don't know. The smarter political consultants will say, you know, do enough to say you're with them, but don't do so much that you're going to be attacked. In my mind, anybody who has ever done one thing will have that one thing mailed on television, used against them. So, you know, I think we're at a turning point, and I think that the turning point isn't the politicians or the Democratic Party. It's the swing voters. It's the Republicans who are acknowledging the role of Democrats in society. It's the business community. It's less polarized today than it was 12 years ago in 1994 with Proposition 187, mm-hmm. in that you have huge virulent anti-immigrant sentiments, but the middle is much more thoughtful and pragmatic if it's solely a business decision to say, okay, some earned legalization is appropriate, and you know what? People are living here, and they are indeed hardworking people. We're not going to buy the notion that they're all criminals and they're mm-hmm. taking from the system. So I think... Yeah. That's the turning point. And then Democrats, you know, either go with what they feel in their heart or, you know, follow the polls and, you know, end up getting defeated sometimes because people know they're poll-driven.
Senator, time for a break. We'll return and talk about the Secretary of State race. We're talking with Deborah Ortiz, Democrat from Sacramento. And if you have a call or comment, get on the line now, 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 BMW X5, the larger of BMW's two SUV models. My demo was assembled in the Bavarian town called Spartanburg, South Carolina, and about half the parts were made in Germany. It's got a fuel-injected 3-liter, 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic, has adequate power and acceleration. The X5 handles well, has a smooth ride, not as squishy as some of Detroit's SUVs. It's loaded with all the power toys you'd expect, including a moonroof, a navigation system that's pretty easy to use, and a premium sound system. In most respects, the X5 is comparable to the Explorer or Pathfinder with a higher price tag. By the numbers, the 2006 BMW X5 gets 16 miles in the city, 21 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $55,000. I'm Peter B. Collins.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagan and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at high levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. And we continue our conversation with State Senator Deborah Ortiz, Democrat from Sacramento, candidate for Secretary of State in the June 6th primary, just about a month away. Her opponent is State Senator Deborah Bowen, Democrat from Marina Del Rey. And, Senator, you realize this makes for difficult choices for many voters. I think you're both very well qualified. We have a similar traffic jam in the lieutenant governor's race, and this, of course, is all a product of term limits. Tell us your evaluation of Bruce McPherson's brief tenure as Secretary of State and what you do different up there.
Well, I think he's done a major harm in as a Secretary of State, when he stepped in and entered into a Bush Department of Justice Memorandum of Understanding on the statewide voter database, what he did was potentially disenfranchise up to 26% or so Californians of newly registered voters, as well as over 40% in LA County. He didn't have to do this. He entered into a very narrow agreement on which was a misinterpretation of HAVA, and now he's having to backtrack through emergency regs to fix it. I personally called for a reporting, not only in a letter but also in a resolution that I'm co-authoring with Assemblymember Tom Munberg, who's the chair of the Elections Committee on the Assembly side, to say, prove to us that you were not going to disenfranchise all these voters prior to the June election. Many think Mr. McPherson is a moderate Republican. I mean, he's been, he's on record as having voted on some issues that are not so moderate when he served in the Senate with us. And I think he's done a horrible job when it comes to the top elections official to encourage participation in the democratic process rather than disenfranchise voters. And unfortunately, those voters are the very voters that already lack a voice in the system, poor new immigrants, newly registered voters. And yes, there's some women who have hyphenated last names, but the majority of them are new immigrants who have become citizens who have unique names.
Well, I think McPherson has really failed in communications and transparency. It is very difficult to work with his office, and they're very confusing in their pronouncements. For example, they claim that Harry Hursty was going to come here and do a hack test on a Diebold machine in Sacramento.
and nobody had bothered to invite Mr. Hursty. He was sitting in Ion Sancho's office in Leon County, Florida,
at the time
that Mr. McPherson said, oh, yeah, he's coming out here and do a hack test. And, of course, that never occurred. Now, Senator, I want to give you the opportunity here and set it up this way. My listeners are deeply concerned about the voting issues, particularly related to electronic voting machines and the privatization of key portions of the voting process. Tell us your thoughts about Diebold, ES&S, and Sequoia, and will you fight for, you know, real, valid, and credible systems in this state? And it's not going to be easy because the federal government has complicated things with HAVA.
Well, let me say that we should do anything and everything to assure a safe, tamper-proof, accurate system of assuring Californians the ability to vote. Diebold has become the target, and I think we ought to be wary. And we clearly have a horrible track record in Florida. But let me also say that, you know, we have provisional certification in order to have these registrar voters carry out elections in June. And all of those registrar voters that actually have the Diebold system signed a letter asking for certification of that system and having a level of confidence that the errors that occurred in Florida, and let me just tell you, that was a perfect storm, new system, not adequately checked and balanced, not adequately tested, software problems, coupled with the clear partisan tampering of the Secretary of State in Florida, which created the perfect storm. I mean, that essentially, as a result of that, we do not have Al Gore as, you know, our president.
Well, not only that, Senator, but that storm continues. As recently as this past Tuesday in Ohio, the Diebold machines had multiple failures. They wouldn't boot up. They couldn't plug them in. And, you know, there were other complications as well. So this is not something that was isolated to Florida in 2000. It is with us today.
And I think, let me just say, the test that was before us was whether or not we have any elections in the state of California in June. And as some who have identified, and it's not just Diebold, let's just make it very clear, many of these systems are vulnerable.
Yes.
The challenge is, do we have some system of voting other than hand-counting ballots in a state like California in order to carry out the June election? And some who are on the side of, you know, not trusting Diebold, we've yet to see an instance in California where we've had those errors. God forbid. I mean, it is hypothetically possible. But when you have San Diego County that conducted not only the special election in January for the two seats or February, coupled with the Duke Henningham seat, in which there were no cases of fraud and tampering with that system. And, you know, we have provisional certification in place. We have probably imperfect means of assuring that vote, but the challenge that we face is, what is the alternative? Do we go to all vote by mail? And I think some who are opposed to either Diebold or those other systems would welcome and say that it's preferable to have a hand count of all of these elections. There's higher rates of miscounting and fraud that would occur as a result of that. So we've got two imperfect options in California. And, you know, we have to be vigilant about this next round of elections in June, to watch closely, to measure, to check the outcomes, to make sure that these provisional certification criteria and chain of custody requirements that were put in place, you know, that we didn't have tampering. But we have to carry out elections. We have to instill confidence in the voters to go to the polls. And we should, you know, do an immediate, you know, tracking after that June election to make sure that we did not have the problems that we've had in Ohio and Florida. But we are in a difficult place right now in California. My perspective is, you know, we need to inspire people to be a part of the process, not create the kind of fear or go to alternatives that disenfranchise poor and working class people, like vote by mail.
Senator, I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thank you for joining us today. Best wishes to you on June 6th.
I appreciate the time.
And I
Peter.
Hope the machines accurately count every vote for Deborah Ortiz for Secretary of State.
Thank you, Peter.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Coming up next, Paul Waldman. Being right is not enough.
Hey, Sheila Gale here from the number one reality radio show at KRXA. Join me this Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. for more dating tales and dating nightmares with our lady Lana and hear updates from our former gang member, Robert X. We'll have a conversation with an Indonesian Muslim and hear about his experiences since 9/11. So don't miss us Saturday between 6 and 7 p.m. with me, Sheila Gale, reality radio, AM 540 KRXA.
Tom Hartman,
chairman of Citicorp, Sanford Weill. He says, I think companies are realizing that we all have to be salesmen for America and not just sit back and rely on the government. I would point out to Mr. Weill, chairman of Citigroup, that his company is sending American jobs to other countries.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
Isn't this a great thing? We can use Indian labor for white-collar jobs while we're using Chinese labor for blue-collar jobs. I'm sorry, this just creeps me out.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Zacharias Moussaoui is put away for life.
Moussaoui is told, you will die with a whimper. This is Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia.
Donald Rumsfeld takes heat at Atlanta.
Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary?
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. A motorcade took Zacharias Moussaoui away from the federal courthouse in Alexandria, Virginia, to spend the rest of his life at a federal prison in Colorado, Supermax, where he'll sleep on a concrete bed in a cell with just one small window near the ceiling. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was in court for today's sentencing.
Moussaoui was sentenced at a hearing filled with last chances for September 11th victims' relatives such as Rosemary Dillard, who looked him in the eye and told him, I feel nothing but disgust.
I told him how he had wrecked my life. He took the most important person from me, and that was my husband, Eddie Dillard.
For Moussaoui, one last public pulpit to mock America for branding him a terrorist. You should look about yourself first, he said. In the end, Judge Leonie Brinkema rejected Musawi's claim that he comes out of here a winner. In her words, every person here can go outside and see the sky, feel the sun, hear the birds. You came here to be a martyr and die in a great big bang of glory, she told him. You will die with a whimper. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Alexandria, Virginia.
Now this.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
I mean... Can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Defense Secretary Rumsfeld was giving a speech in Atlanta today when it started.
Exchange program and spent some time.
That woman waving a sign that read guilty of war crimes was one of three people to be hustled out after heckling Rumsfeld. Then, during the question and answer session, a former CIA analyst got up to accuse him of lying to justify the invasion.
Wait a minute. Let him stay one second.
Your allegation that there was bulletproof evidence of ties between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Was that a lie? Or were you misled?
Zarqawi was in Baghdad during the pre-war period. That is a fact.
Zarqawi? He was in the north of Iraq in a place where Saddam Hussein had no rule.
He was also in Baghdad.
Come on, these people aren't idiots. They know the story.
Abu Musab al-Zarqawi, the al-Qaeda leader in Iraq, was being ridiculed at the Pentagon today. A videotape discovered in a recent raid shows Zarqawi looking tough with an automatic weapon, but looking helpless when it jams after one of his aides fixes it.
Wearing New Balance sneakers with his uniform, surrounded by supposedly competent subordinates, who grabbed the hot barrel of a just-fired machine gun?
Army Major General Rick Lynch said it makes you wonder. Already convicted in Virginia in the 2002 sniper attacks, John Allen Muhammad went on trial in Maryland today. This time, as WTOP Radio's Neil Augenstein reports, he's acting as his own lawyer.
John Allen Muhammad told jurors he came to the Washington, D.C. area with Lee Boyd Malvo to find the children he'd lost in a custody fight. He referred to Malvo as his son and says they had no idea why they were arrested. He said the evidence will show that he and Malvo are both innocent, but he didn't address any of the murders the prosecutors spent 2 hours detailing.
Malvo, who is not Muhammad's son, is expected to testify against him. CBS News correspondent John Harchie reports a son of Senator Edward Kennedy is under scrutiny.
Congressman Patrick Kennedy was involved in a traffic accident during the middle of the night near the Capitol building, reportedly hitting a security barricade. A police union spokesman suggests he got special treatment, claiming officers at the scene thought he appeared intoxicated, but police sergeants took charge of the matter and instead of an immediate investigation, drove the Rhode Island Democrat home. Congressman Kennedy has issued a statement acknowledging that he was in an accident, that he consumed no alcohol prior to it, and will cooperate with any investigation.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Diane Mintz is a realtor. She helps people buy and sell real estate. But those aren't the only people Diane helps.
Every year I send inner city children to camp.
She knows that something that the kids may learn from camp may change their life completely.
The Realtor Code of Ethics is about treating people fairly and honestly. I make a promise to conduct business fairly, and I've also made a promise to these kids.
Across the country, realtors like Diane Mintz are making a difference in their communities and setting examples for others to do the same. Ask if your agent is a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
There are two kinds of bikers. There's the tough, hardcore biker, like Smokey here.
Hey, bro.
And then there's the weekend rider, like Jeff.
Hey, man.
These two bikers couldn't be more different, except for one thing. You both have Geico motorcycle insurance. Because Geico covers most kinds of motorcycles, and they offer money-saving discounts. So, you see, you guys, you have more in common than you thought.
Neat.
For a free rate quote on motorcycle insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
From the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening. Coming up next hour, John Nichols from The Nation talks about life after Tom DeLay. And this hour, we're going to talk with Paul Waldman about his new book called Being Right is Not Enough.
Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. People say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal the elections. Run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy and enter Bush, Cheney, and DeLay. We just passed a new bill recently. It's for people with no brains.
That's one of our top 10 tunes this week on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's called We're the Republicans with Apologies to the Monkees. That's where that song originally came from. And, James, do we have Paul? Okay, we're standing by to hook up with Paul Waldman. He is on our program on a regular basis as one of the representatives of Media Matters for America, the website MediaMatters.org that takes a look at the right-wing media and the corporate media and analyzes their shortcomings and their errors and brings them to our attention. And Paul has also written a book that we've mentioned a few times over the last couple of months. It's now officially published. And it is out from Wiley, the publisher. It's called Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. And it's a very powerful book, lots of stuff in it. And as soon as we get Paul on the line, we'll be talking with him about it. In the meantime, if you want to join me and chat, you're welcome to pick up the phone and give us a call, 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. And one of the interesting developments here this afternoon, if you heard in the top of the hour newscast, is that Donald Rumsfeld has been, he's been on the receiving end of some unpleasantness. First of all, Amnesty International has said that the U.S., the torture that has been conducted on America's watch in Iraq and during the so-called War on Terror, has been sanctioned by top government officials, including Donald Rumsfeld. Then he went to Atlanta, and this is really interesting because I just printed out from the web an AP news story, and the headline on it is, Rumsfeld heckled by former CIA analyst. And that word heckled is not correct, because what occurred is that he was heckled by a member or two of the audience. There was a woman, you heard the outburst, she carried a sign and she accused him of war crimes. But what Ray McGovern did was ask a question during a question and answer session. That is not heckling. And even if it's an unpleasant or an antagonistic question, that is not heckling. So Ray McGovern, a man I deeply admire, who served 27 years at the Central Intelligence Agency, went to Atlanta so he could confront Donald Rumsfeld. He said, "Why did you lie to get us into a war that caused these kind of casualties and was not necessary?" Rumsfeld shot back, "I did not lie." And he waved off security guards who were ready to pull McGovern out of the hall at the Southern Center for International Studies. And he did permit McGovern to ask a couple of follow-ups. You may have heard that exchange on the hourly newscast a couple of minutes ago. But I have to say I'm very proud of Ray McGovern. He distinguished himself recently. He was on the NewsHour on public television. And he, in a very gentle but firm way, really presented a strong case for the failings of our intelligence community and the way it was manipulated by the Bush administration. So my hat is off today to Ray McGovern for the courage to take on Donald Rumsfeld. And again, I take serious exception to this headline that was on the Associated Press story describing Ray McGovern as having heckled Rumsfeld. He asked him tough questions, but it was during the question and answer period. It was not something that was out of order where he just popped up in the middle of a session. Paul Waldman joins us now. Welcome, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
It's good to be with you, Peter.
Haven't chatted with you since Monday.
Well, it seems like it's been longer.
Well, I have spent quite a bit of time with your book, Being Right is Not Enough, subtitled What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. And I think it's important reading for every progressive and every American who would like to see an end to one-party rule in Washington, D.C. Tell us a little bit, you know, in our visits regarding Media Matters, we've never really sat down and said, well, gosh, Paul, how did you get there? And what's your background? So give us the elevator pitch on Paul Waldman.
Well, I worked for a while in Democratic politics, and then I decided that I wanted to be an academic and sort of be above the fray, and I spent some time in academia teaching at the University of Pennsylvania. And it was really the Bush presidency that got me thinking that I needed to be a partisan again, or at least be more involved in a direct way than being an academic, sort of looking at things from the outside. And I wrote a book called Fraud, and the subtitle was The Strategy Behind the Bush Lies and Why the Media Didn't Tell You. That came out in early 2004, and somehow President Bush still managed to get reelected, despite that book being on the shelves. And after the 2004 election, I began to think really more about the long term. It struck me, as it has for some time, that conservatives have done so many things right, that they've been so smart and so skilled at politics. And it occurred to me to really start to think about this and to ask why. What have they done? What kind of lessons can progressives learn as they try not just to win the next election, but to really build a movement and look for success that lasts over decades? And so as I started to think about those questions, that became this book, Being Right is Not Enough.
Well, and I got a lot out of it. And you lay the groundwork early on in the book defining just how much popular support progressive positions have among Americans, whether it's single-payer health care, abortion rights, honesty and ethical government. These are things that there is majority consensus on, and we, the left, the progressives, people we used to call liberals, we're on the right side of that, but it's our tactics. And one of the things that I think is most powerful that you describe in the book is the need for a master narrative. Explain that, and go ahead and take a minute or two here, Paul, because I think it's a powerful concept and people should understand it.
Well, one of the many things that conservatives have done well is to think about stories and the kinds of stories that they tell. And a master narrative is basically a big story that kind of stands above and informs all the other stories you tell. And the conservatives have a story that speaks to them and informs their ideological worldview. And basically it starts in the 60s. The conservative story says that there were these halcyon days. There was this good time in America before the 1960s, before the fall, if you will. And after that, everything kind of went to pot, and we had moral relativism, and America became weak. And then through the 1980s, you saw that conservatism was resurgent, and a new emphasis was put on traditional values and on strength and on fighting communism. And despite the fact that there are always these kind of liberals carping with their weak ideas and their government bureaucracies, the strong conservatives are standing up for America and standing up for things that are right. That's sort of the underlying story about their, and informs what they believe. So the question is, what's the story that informs what progressives believe? And I wrote a little version of it that lasts a couple of paragraphs in the book, but basically what it says is that the story of America, as far as progressives are concerned, is our constant evolution toward the full realization of the values on which our country was founded. And at every turn, the conservatives of the day, whichever party they happened to inhabit at a particular time, they stood in the way of that progress, and it was the progressives who eliminated slavery. It was the progressives who gave women the right to vote. It was the progressives who started the environmental movement. It was the progressives who eliminated Jim Crow. And throughout American history, what you see is a push toward greater progress, greater freedom, a greater realization of American values, where progressives are the ones giving the push and conservatives are the ones standing in the way. And that, I think, is the big story that progressives have to tell about themselves, to be able to inform the stories they're going to tell about the day-to-day politics that we experience today.
We're going to take a little break here, Paul Waldman, and when we return, I want to actually read the suggested master narrative that you published in the book. And before we get to that, I want to tease something that we'll go into detail on in a future segment this hour, because I think it's the real powerful message of your book. It reads, "If Democrats are serious about winning, they have to approach the next presidential election with this in mind. They must do to the Republican nominee, whoever he may be, what Republicans did to past Democratic nominees. In other words, he must be taken down. Not just out-argued or out-worked, but torn limb from limb, discredited to the point where no Republican will want to be seen with him in public. This can be done ethically and honestly. There's no need to make up stories or distort records or proposals. But it must be done without mercy." I think that's the most powerful message in your book. We'll discuss it as we continue. Paul Waldman is my guest. It's Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. He's with us this entire hour, and your calls are welcome right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. You can call me toll-free from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. 16 minutes past the hour, you're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue. with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic. It's 420 on this beautiful afternoon, and here she is, Amy Knight.
Not so beautiful in Castroville, Peter. Merritt Street at Crane Street, a two-vehicle accident with one of the vehicles that looks like ran into the Castroville post office. We'll keep you posted on
that.
They
went postal?
They did go postal.
And there's no drive-through there that we know of.
No drive-through in the Castroville post office. But again, we'll keep you posted on that accident in our next report. Also, northbound one at Miramonte and Watson, to watch out for a truckload of hay in the middle of the roadway. And SoCal Drive at Commercial Way, two vehicles clear to a nearby parking lot. Looks like the driver is exchanging information. Discover Mercury at Sun Valley Shopping Center on Saturday, May 6th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and you'll receive a $25 gift certificate for test driving on any new Mercury vehicle. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're spending this hour with Paul Waldman talking about his new book, Being Right is Not Enough. I want to hear from you lefty activists. Get on the line now, 831-899-5792. Toll free. The lines are open, 888-579-2540. Our music of the moment from Was Not Was, that's Spy in the House of Love, and it always reminds me just to say hi to our NSA minder, Benny. We know you're there. We pity you, having been assigned 3 hours of listening to this talk show every day, and hope you will faithfully report to your superiors. Paul Waldman, let's now go to the master narrative that you suggest as a counter to the narrative that Republicans and the neocons have successfully kind of built into the mythology of their appeal and of their rule. You want to read it or you want me to?
Sure, I can read it.
Please do.
This is how it goes. Throughout our history, we have worked to make sure our society lives up to the ideals we all share: freedom, equality, opportunity. When we saw problems, we organized together for change, shining a light on injustice and unfairness, and demanding the government do what is best for all of us and allow everyone to join in the blessings of our nation. Afraid of change and desperate to hold on to power, conservatives fought the changes with all their might. But the will of the people was too strong, and conservatives were defeated when they stood in the way of progress. Today we face many problems, and conservatives still fight against the people's will. But America will continue its advance toward a more perfect union, one where every person has the same rights, the same security, and the same opportunities, where communities and the nation come together to solve problems, where no one is excluded from our nation's prosperity, where the government works on behalf of all Americans. That's the progressive master narrative that I propose.
And I think it's very powerful, and it weaves together key themes in a way that, it's presented in a very positive manner and framed as the kind of natural evolution of progressive thought in this country. In the previous segment, you talked about how, you know, progressives got women the vote, rolled back Jim Crow, led the civil rights movement, brought us Social Security and the 40-hour week. And so we certainly do have a great legacy behind us. The problem is in properly articulating it. And I thought one of the powerful threads through your book is the look at trying to develop single-payer health care. And let's start off with the anecdote about Clinton prior to the presidency. This was after Harris Wofford had scored big in the Senate race in Pennsylvania on the single theme of health care and extending health insurance to all. And Clinton was presented with two alternatives. Give us that story briefly, Paul.
All right, well, this is a story that was written in an article by one of the people who were in this room. This is when Clinton was a candidate in 1992, before he had even won the presidency. And what he did is he had two people come in and present him their best arguments, one for single-payer health care and one for something that looked like what he eventually proposed in 1993, which is a system that sort of enhanced the role of HMOs. And these two guys kind of presented their best cases, and Clinton looked at them at the end, and he pointed to the one who was advocating for single-payer health care, and he said, well, you win the argument. And then he pointed to the other guy and said, but we're going to do what he says. And the way this person wrote it up was that everyone, that even considering the Canadian system, everyone in the room agreed would prompt GOP cries of socialized medicine and cries that the press would faithfully report. The point about the story is that even before he took office, Clinton had already compromised. He knew that single-payer health care was the best system. But he decided that in order to head off some Republican opposition, he would move toward their position by advocating a system that was more like what Republicans wanted. And what did we find in the end? Well, they still opposed it with all the ferocity that they would have opposed a single-payer system.
And still called it socialist.
Anyway. I'm sorry? Absolutely. They'll call anything that the Democrats propose on healthcare socialist. But in the end, he lost anyway. So he didn't get any political benefit out of it. He didn't get, the country didn't get its healthcare reform that it needed. And so there was nothing that was gained. And so this, I use this as the introduction to a chapter called Thinking Big. The argument that I make there is that progressives have to think not about necessarily can we achieve this goal in the next session of Congress, but what do we really want to achieve in the long run? And if you want to achieve something in the long run, the way to do it is to start now and keep at it. So the counterexample I give is what conservatives did on Social Security. When they first started talking about privatization of Social Security, the idea that you would do so, that you would privatize Social Security, wasn't just kind of a bad idea. It was considered absolute insanity. It made you a crackpot to advocate that. But this was in the 1960s. So what did they do? They just kept at it, and they funded studies on it. They kept making their arguments, and they've gotten to the point now where it's nearly gospel within the Republican Party that Social Security should be privatized in some way. The public doesn't want it, but they are still at it. They're still working on it, because what they realized was if they had a goal that was important to them, it didn't matter to them if it took 40 or 50 years, if it meant enough. And I think that we should look at single-payer health care, if that's what you believe in the same way. It doesn't matter if we can do it next year or if we can do it in 5 years. If it's an important goal, and if it matters to the public, and if it will improve the lives of Americans, and it takes 20 or 30 years, then we should stick to it. But what we find is that Democrats say, well, no, that's going to get attacked. It's not popular enough. So we're just going to propose some incremental measures that, you know, will move us a little bit down the road to a slightly better healthcare system. And then what you get is that the public doesn't think you really believe in much. You know, the Democrats should have a big advantage on health care. Mm-hmm. But what does the public think that the Democrats want to do on health care? I don't know what the Democrats want to do on health care. I don't think anyone does. Because all they propose is sort of incremental measures. You can propose something big, and even if it doesn't happen anytime soon, if nothing else, you convince the public that you have some ideals, some big ideas that you want to see enacted, and that helps to form your identity.
And standing, even if you lose, is a very important part of the process. We have too many incumbents who are concerned about their own futures, who make their decisions based on narrow self-interest instead of saying, well, if we stood as a party and were unified on these issues, we would be much less vulnerable in our individual races. But instead, they see it from a rather personalized perspective, and that leads to the kind of incremental, super cautious approach that you described. In the next segment, I want to pursue this a little further, because I really believe that if we had adopted single payer in the Clinton administration, that General Motors would not be in the Straits and Ford. The manufacturing base in this country would not be feeling the pain of these health care cost increases, and we might have been able to keep some of those under control. We'll continue right after the break. Your calls are welcome for Paul Waldman, 831-899-5792 or 888-579-2540, toll-free. The book, Being Right Is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. It's out now from Wiley. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
In life and in business, having the right tools, the right technology, helps get work done easier, faster, and better.
And no one is better equipped to provide that technology than Sharp.
A full line of multifunctional products with open systems architecture that do much more than copy, print, fax, and scan.
Sharp, OSA-enabled MFPs.
Gives you a window into your business applications.
So you can access what you need, when you need it, right from the LCD panel.
Sharp MFPs. High-quality network printing in both black and white and color from one machine.
Even industry-leading security features to protect confidential documents.
Sharp MFPs, streamlined workflow, maximized ROI, low total cost of ownership.
Tri-County Business Systems, solutions that connect with you since 1981. Located in Salinas at South Main and Acacia Streets. Call 1-800-339-6216. That's 1-800-339-6216.
The Del Monte Cafe features authentic American food carefully prepared at very reasonable prices. Hungry for delicious omelets, pancakes, sandwiches, and pasta dishes? Come visit us for breakfast and lunch at the Del Monte Cafe, located at 1642 Del Monte Boulevard in Seaside. We're open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday from 7:30 to 2 p.m. For takeout orders, call us at 394-7851. That's 394-7851, the Del Monte Cafe, 1642 Del Monte Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. The Tasty Planet Radio Show is sponsored by the Monterey Bay Aquarium's 5th Annual Cooking for Solutions on May 19th and 20th. For ticket information, call 866-963-9644 or go to the web at montereybayaquarium.org.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I clicked, and nothing happened. Oh, I see why. Here we go.
That one isn't James's fault. That's me.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, emanating from the left coast and oozing eastward, now in Sacramento and Phoenix. Glad to have you listening. If you want more information about your humble host, visit peterbcollins.com. We continue with author Paul Waldman. His book, Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. And before the break, Paul, we were talking about the issues of the Clinton administration and single-payer health. And I'm one of those people who believes that if that had been the option presented, and if they had been able to get past the right-wing opposition and the corporate opposition to it, that we would be in much better condition now. We wouldn't have 50 million people uninsured. We saw 2004 an 11% spike in the number of people who went without health insurance for at least part of the year. And Americans are more vulnerable than ever. Healthcare costs more than ever. And it is more of a burden than ever on our manufacturing base, including the automakers in Detroit. And yet we recognize the scope of the problem. And as you carefully and correctly stated, Democrats are not really making a big issue of this right now. It's crippling our unions. It's having a tremendous ripple effect, and we really hear a lot of silence.
Absolutely, and I think that the problem with Democrats is that they sort of learned the wrong lesson from the 1993 healthcare fiasco. The lesson that they believe that they should have learned is that you just can't make any kind of substantial reform without political cost, and that therefore you should just stay away from it. If you're going to do anything, it should be extremely small and basically inconsequential. But the lesson that they should have learned is that if they try to reform healthcare, there will be a coalition of Republicans and insurance companies that will fight them tooth and nail. So it didn't appear from the outside anyway as though when they tried to enact health care reform in 1993 that they really took much of account of what the opposition was going to be. And so they were kind of caught unawares with all those Harry and Louise ads and everything. And because they had made a system that was so complicated, it was difficult to explain. And that's one of the things that I think that the lesson that you can learn is that when you have a policy goal, it's very important to be able to boil it down to something that's easy for people to understand. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing about this issue is that something like single-payer health care can be boiled down to something very simple, an argument that you can make about what you want and what the other side wants that is easy for people to understand and can be repeated over and over. It's as simple as Democrats want every American to have health insurance and Republicans don't, period. You can repeat that over and over and over again and make them explain why they don't want Americans to have health insurance. And if you start from that kind of basic statement of values, what we want and what they want and who we are and who they are, then you can get into the details of policy in a way that you will satisfy those people who want all that wonkishness. But here's the problem. Like, what happens during a campaign? Let's just take, you know, I spent a lot of time in this book bashing John Kerry. Not in an unfriendly way, but I have a lot of criticisms of some of his rhetoric.
I couldn't find any that I thought were misplaced.
Well, thanks. Well, let's think about how he talked about health care. When a health care question came up, what do you want to do about health care? What would Kerry say? Well, he would say, well, look at my 10-point plan. He would begin to talk about his 10-point plan. That's not the way you need to talk about issues like this. When someone says, what do you want to do about health care, the first thing out of your mouth should be an articulation of your values. I believe that every American should have health care. I believe that no family should have to choose between eating and paying their medical bills. This is the difference between what progressives believe and what conservatives believe. Once you've established that base, where you're coming from, what you believe, and how your values are influencing your thoughts about policy, then you can move to the 10-point plan. But if you start with the 10-point plan, what people are going to ask is, gee, what's Kerry's 10-point plan again? What does it say? I don't really know. I'm not really sure. You haven't told them anything about what you believe. Whereas if you start with the statement of values, even for those 98% of the people who never get to read the 10-point plan, they'll understand what you want.
And on that score, Paul, I firmly agree with you, and I'm thinking of the debates between Bush and Kerry in 2004, and I watched each one of them, and at the end of each one, I had the same reaction, that based on Senate debating rules, Kerry cleaned Bush's clock. Based on any kind of perception research that you do on average people, the people I like to call the Wheel of Fortune viewer, Bush won.
You're absolutely right, and this gets back to what we started talking about early on in the hour, that since this is the irony here. Since Democrats have all those advantages on issues, that people want to increase the minimum wage and they want environmental protection, they want universal health care, all these things, Democrats end up thinking, well, we'll just talk about the issues and then we'll win. Republicans know that they can't really talk about the issues in that kind of a way since they have the disadvantage. So what do? They talk about character. They understand that politics is about communicating character. It's not about picking who has the best set of policy plans. It's about which person do you trust. Which person do you want? Do you feel like you're going to be able to look up to? All those things about character. So the Republicans make every election about character, and so they come before the public and they don't say, "Look at my 10-point plan." They say, "That guy over there hates you and everything you stand for, and I'm one of you, and he's not."
And that's why your powerful advice is that the next Republican presidential candidate has to be taken down. Has so much resonance, and we're going to come back to that. But first, some callers. Emily in Santa Cruz, thanks for holding on. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Paul Waldman.
So glad to be getting on. My goodness, the Democrats do have a health care plan. John Conyers has a bill in the House, H.R. 676, but naturally with the Republicans in control of the House, he can't get a hearing on it. But I've been working on it here. They're having community hearings around the country. We had one in San Jose, and our local congressman came, he's one of the endorsers of it. There are 69 other members of Congress have signed on, which I think is too few, but at least it's that far.
Yeah.
And it's a single-payer universal health care plan, and he's even providing in there funds for insurance administrators who might lose their old jobs. But anyway, I just heard from Marilyn Clement. She's a national person who's running, who's heading up a campaign to get this thing going. And we're supposed to have rallies the week of June 7th. So we see the problem is we haven't been able to get the word out as much as we should because
Emily, let me just jump in here because you are absolutely right about the Conyers plan. And Paul is absolutely right that most Americans don't know about it, and therefore their perception is the Democrats don't have a plan. Paul?
Emily,
hold on.
Sure.
I'm asking Paul for a comment. We'll come back to you.
That's what the press is constantly telling us. Oh, Democrats have no ideas. Democrats have no plans. Well, the fact is, of course, that they do. I live in Washington. Washington is brimming with policy plans. Believe me, they have plenty of ideas. The problem is that they can't get the press to pay much attention to them. That's the first problem. And the second problem is that they haven't done a good enough job of, as I said, sort of boiling them down to those statements of values that allow you the room to talk about your plans.
And not only that, they haven't been able to build consensus in their own caucus. As Emily pointed out, only 69 Democrats have signed on to this.
Absolutely. And I think you talked about politicians and we talked about them not being all that courageous. Politicians are never going to be courageous, except for a few here and there, because they are always worried about losing their jobs. And I think that as progressives think about how they not just win an election but build a movement, they have to realize they can't really rely on politicians. You can't wait for some Democrat to come who's going to be your savior. That's, again, it's one of those lessons that conservatives have to teach. Back when they came out of the ashes of the 1964 campaign where Barry Goldwater lost so miserably, what they decided was they weren't going to put all their hope in Richard Nixon. They were going to build a movement that wasn't reliant on any particular politician, and that's what they did. And those hardcore conservatives eventually they started by fighting the Republican establishment, and eventually they became the Republican establishment. And I think progressives need to do the same thing. They have to say, I'm not going to wait for the next presidential campaign and hope that the candidate who gets nominated is the candidate of my dreams. I'm going to start building my movement now from the ground up, and eventually we can take over the Democratic Party.
Emily, your turn.
Yes. You know, Kerry did in the campaign, he said, well, everybody should have the same coverage we have in the Congress.
I remember that,
But I was so disappointed, and I tried to get the word to the Klan. You should be talking about H.R. 676 and get the word out. We're in process of getting a plan going. You know
well,
what I
Emily,
mean?
Emily, there I would ask you to listen to Paul's point that, bills and 10-point plans don't necessarily communicate to the American people.
Right.
But Paul reduced it to a simple statement. Democrats want health insurance for every American, and Republicans don't.
Right.
That's what we need to focus on. Emily, I wish we had more time, but I want to jump.
One quick one.
Okay, go.
There is also a bill here in California. I don't know if you're aware of that. Senate Bill 840, Senator Sheila Kuehl. It's moving through the legislature. I understood, though, that Schwarzenegger wasn't going to be a supporter of it. But these things move rather slowly. I would hope that either Angelides or Wesley would certainly be behind it.
I'd like to see that, too. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
Dave in Humboldt. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
And time is pressing, so I'll be real brief. I know that so much is so wrong in this country, so much harm, and there are so few John Conyers elected officials who are willing to confront it directly, and that troubles me much. Sometimes the question comes up of why is this administration doing so much hurt, so much harm to the people? And, you know, the answer I've been coming up with, and I'd like to view, is that the Bush and Cheney and the White House, they know how badly they lost the last two elections. They know how much they had to cheat to get into office, and they're angry with the people for not buying their nonsense. So that's one theory I got.
All right, Paul, your comment?
Well, that's why I think that Democrats should be advocating for an electoral reform. And again, you can start by making it a statement of values. Democrats want everyone to vote and want every vote to count. Democrats should be asking to eliminate the Electoral College, not because you can necessarily pass that constitutional amendment in a short amount of time, but because saying that every American's vote should count exactly the same is a statement of values. And they should have a serious electoral reform agenda that you know involves things like paper trails for voting machines. And they have to start. One of the points I make in the book is that people have to start paying attention to races for the office of Secretary of State. Think about how what would have happened if instead of Catherine Harris being the Secretary of State of Florida in 2000, it was a Democrat. Al Gore would probably be in his second term right now.
Well, we're taking your advice because just before you came on the program, we interviewed one of the Democratic candidates for Secretary of State in next month's primary, and boy, was she a disappointment on electoral issues. But yes, we're working on that. And also, I agree with your prescription here, that if we lead with a value statement and then follow up with the policy proposals, it's a much more powerful 1-2 punch than just trying to lay the proposals out there. As you say, reporters feel that's like work, and they're not really going to do much with it. We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman. The book, Being Right Is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Still room for your call. Toll free at 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Thank you.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic now, 448. And here she is, the superstar for Metro Traffic, Amy Knight.
Peter, no clucking around this afternoon on Highway 101. As you make your way towards San Martin, looks like southbound 101 before San Martin Avenue, several chickens in the middle of the roadway. So drive with caution.
Oh, that's an eagle. That didn't work. Where are my chickens?
They're never
here when I'm looking for them. No, that won't work either.
Well, keep searching.
Sorry.
Okay. In Gonzales, north 101 as you travel through the Gonzales area, construction work has the right lane closed, and there's at least a two-mile delay thanks to a couple of dog haulers we received. And in Salinas, Rogie Road and Natividad, car and a minivan mixed it up. Also, Merritt at Crane, we still have those two vehicles involved. They're right in front of the postal office there in Castroville. Hurry to Mattress Discounters today on approved credit. Make no down payment, no monthly payment, and pay no interest for 12 months. Mattress Discounters, discount prices every day.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show rolling on. John Nichols, powerful writer for The Nation magazine, is going to join us at the top of the next hour. Right now we continue with Paul Waldman. He's a senior fellow at Media Matters for America and the author of this important new book, A Blueprint for Progressives Who Really Want to Win. It's called Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success, and it's out now from Wiley Publishers, and you'll be on a first-class book tour in the coming weeks?
Well, maybe not so first class. I'm just doing a couple of appearances, but I'm going to be up in the Bay Area probably in June sometime. So.
All right. Well, let us know, and we'll invite you back to talk further about the book. I've got more calls, but I want to give you an opportunity to expand a little bit on what I teased about a half an hour ago, because I think that this is some of the most powerful advice you offer in the book. If Democrats are serious about winning, they have to approach the next presidential election with this in mind. They must do to the Republican nominee, whoever he or she may be, Condi, what Republicans did to past Democratic nominees. In other words, he must be taken down. Not just out-argued or outworked, but torn limb from limb, discredited to the point where no Republican will want to be seen with him in public. It can be done ethically and honestly. There's no need to make up stories or distort records or proposals, but it must be done without mercy. So how do we find that common ground between the extremes of liberals and progressives who feel that, you know, fighting dirty is just, you know, it's dirty, you know, and you got to go home and shower with Lysol, and the Swift voters on the far right extreme?
Well, as I say, it doesn't have to be done unethically or dishonestly. It can be done honestly, but it has to be done with seriousness. Now, Karl Rove does not sit up at night wondering if he's being too mean. When they get into a campaign, Republicans know that they have to tear their opponents to pieces. I quote from the movie The Untouchables, you don't bring a knife to a gunfight. And I think that's the Democrats just have to approach the enterprise with that in mind, that they're not going to sit around wondering about whether or not they should go negative or whether it's okay to talk about their opponent's character, because every election is about character, and Republicans will make it about the Democrats' character. They have to be willing to argue not just that they have the better proposals, but that the Republican is a person that Americans shouldn't want to elect. They have to come to those campaigns with that kind of seriousness, because the stakes are so incredibly high. Think about what all that would be different if things had gone differently in 2000. You know, that's a great example. When we got down to the Florida post-election thing, what happened? Al Gore was literally back in Washington drafting op-eds to submit to the New York Times. He told his supporters not to be too mean, not to say bad things about Bush. What did the Bush campaign do? Well, first of all, they spent four times as much money as the Gore campaign did. And the metaphor I use is that they were crawling through the brush with knives in their teeth. They printed up signs that said "Sore Loser Man." They made it all about Gore's character, and they pulled out every single stop because they knew that it wasn't about whether or not they had really gotten more votes. It was about getting power, and they won. And here we are, 6 years later, and look at everything that has happened in this country since then. The stakes are incredibly high, and you can't go into an election campaign thinking that you're just going to put your policy plans in front of the people and they will look at them and then decide that you're the superior person. You have to fight like there's no tomorrow.
Bush has been caricaturized as shrub in some corners, and we have our own Shrum. In the book, you talk about not singling out Bob Shrum for execution politically, but just the general failure of political consultants, and his really is the most significant.
Absolutely. I mean, he was the person who was at the top of the Gore campaign and of the Kerry campaign. And I think that there's a problem with political consultants in Washington generally, which is that their only goal is to get the 50% plus one. If they can do that, then they've done their job. And there's always another election, even if they lose, with more candidates who need advice. So that kind of short-term thinking is inimical to building a long-term movement. And so I think they have to... we have to sort of put them to the side and not listen to the things that they say, because they're always going to advise a kind of caution that may be advantageous here and there, but doesn't help you build a long-term movement. And so I think, just as a for instance, there was a conflict not too long ago between a group of bloggers and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee about where the DCCC was putting money.
Right.
And the DCCC's argument was, well, you know, we don't have all the money in the world, and we have to focus on just a few races. And other people said, well, when you do that, you don't build anything for the future. You're just thinking short term.
Right.
And so even if you lose, you can still start to build a movement, even if you come up short of that 50%. It's not all about getting to 50%. It's about what happens not just in this election, but the election following, and what happens 10 years from now and 20 years from now.
I love the movie Grifters. And, in it, the mother and son were fighting over whether to play the short con or the long con. And in that context, I believe in the long con. We go to Susan now in Santa Cruz. Thanks for calling, Susan. You're on the Peter
Hi,
B. Collins
thanks,
Show.
Hi, Peter. I have two things. One, I don't really totally agree with you, Paul. I love your passion and, you know, your call for long vision. But I think that taking the high ground has tremendous viability. And we do need to distinguish ourselves from our other half, the so-called Republicans. We really need to do that by staying with principled stance. And, yeah, I think you're right that we have to do this whole thing with values. And the second thing is there was somebody who did that in the last campaign, and that was Kucinich, who took principled stance right from the beginning about values, who said every American is to be not only have insurance, but to be educated and everything else. And a whole lot of people who, Democrats, including Peter B., said he's not electable. Well, he took the most principled stance of everybody. So, we have to get behind, someone eventually who stands for what we stand for and stick with it.
All right, Paul, your comment?
Well, you can be principled and stand for what you believe. I think that's absolutely essential. And this is the heart of one of the big problems that Democrats have, is that in every campaign, the Republican comes out and says the Democrat is weak. This is the Democrats' problem on national security. It's not really about national security. And Democrats who think that they can vote to go along with a war that President Bush wants and that will make them look strong are sorely mistaken. Who looks strong now? It's not the Democrats who voted for the war. The people who look strong are people like Russ Feingold who voted against the war. Those are the people who stood up and looked strong. So
right.
Democrats have to stop worrying about whether they can sort of shuffle their positions one way or another, and that will make them look strong. But when it comes to engaging in negative politics, sometimes there are negative things about the opponent that the public needs to know. They have to be informed about what he's going to do or she's going to do that will be bad for the country, and it's important to talk about those things.
I totally agree, but that doesn't mean taking someone out. Even that languaging is really difficult.
Well, okay. I use that language to convey the seriousness of purpose that I think it requires.
Okay.
All right, Susan, thanks for your call.
From that villain point of view. Okay, thanks.
Okay,
bye.
We'll take that. You were talking there about strength. In the book, you refer to a speech Kerry gave where, 18 times in 18 seconds he used the word strength. Bill Clinton is quoted as saying on national security, Americans want a leader who's wrong and strong rather than right and appearing weak. And George Lakoff refers to the Republican model as a strong father and the Democratic model as a tolerant father. What's your take on that strength versus tolerance-indulgence continuum?
I think you can convey strength and still be tolerant, and I think you can. The mistake is to think that being strong means being pro-war, for instance. One of the examples I like to use is Martin Luther King. He was a pacifist. He was against war. But no one ever called him a weakling. He had moral strength. He had courage that he displayed constantly. And everyone understood that he was strong. But it didn't come from being in favor of war. And so I think when people say that, you know, we have to go along with this Iran thing or come up with our own plan to attack Iran, and that will make us look strong, they're making a terrible mistake. Republicans are constantly looking for ways to pick fights with Democrats to make them back down. Yeah. Every time there's a conflict, the Democrats say something that's too insulting of Republicans. What happens? The Republicans yelp and the Democrats apologize. And
gotta
then
stop
they
there,
weak.
Paul. Thank you very much. Paul Waldman, Being Right is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. It's out now from Wiley. Pick it up from an independent bookstore if you have a chance. Thank you very much, Paul. We'll talk again soon. John Nichols joins us next.
Tom Hartman.
Essentially, ethnic redistribution is happening right now as we speak. The Shia are moving out of the predominantly Sunni neighborhoods, moving into Shia neighborhoods, and the Sunnis are moving out of the predominantly Shia neighborhoods into the Sunni neighborhoods. People are swapping houses.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
And this is what we saw in the Balkans. This is what we saw in Lebanon. This is what happens when civil war happens. And the civil war, I would suggest to you, is already well underway.
Tom Hartman on KRXA 540.
You already know that Joe Rombies serves the best Italian meals this side of Roma. What you may not know is that you can also enjoy Joe Rombies' incomparable cuisine in the comfort of your family room, dining room, or kitchen. And if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombies' La Piccola Casa and La Mia Cucina. For unforgettable meals in a private setting at your place or theirs, call 373-8116 or drop by 17th Street between Lighthouse and Laurel in...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. No love fest for Donald Rumsfeld, at least not in Atlanta, where he was to give a speech.
Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary?
That's a retired CIA analyst, one of three hecklers who interrupted the defense secretary.
Hostage takers, suicide bombers, terrorists.
In the middle of the speech.
You are a serial killer.
That guy called Rumsfeld a serial killer. Said he should be impeached. One demonstrator asked about those weapons of mass destruction and Iraq's Al-Qaeda link. Rumsfeld responded saying terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi was in Baghdad before the invasion. Speaking of that guy, that's Zarqawi shooting up a storm inside Iraq. Unseen portions of a videotape released this week and screened by Major General Rick Lynch.
He's wearing his black uniform and his New Balance tennis shoes as he moves to this white pickup truck. And his close associates around him, his trusted advisors, do things like grab the hot barrel of a machine gun and burn themselves.
Another Al-Qaeda thug has been sent up the river for good. Zakarias Moussaoui was formally sentenced to life in solitary confinement today. And like he always has, the admitted 9/11 conspirator was anything but quiet or remorseful in court.
Moussaoui was confrontational, but didn't seem to have a lot of the bluster he has shown in past appearances here. He came in flashing a V sign for victory, apparently. Judge Lainey Brinkema told him it's quite clear who won and who lost. And she added, every person here will leave and they are free to go any place they want.
At CBS's Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Virginia, where they held the trial, Moussaoui will likely be sent to Colorado's Supermax prison, home to some of America's biggest, baddest criminals. The start of the hurricane season is less than a month away, and if those nasty winds blow through New Orleans again, hotels won't be used as temporary shelters anymore. Not even for the tourists.
New Orleans Homeland Security Chief Terry Ebert says thousands of tourists were stranded in New Orleans during Katrina after flight stopped 36 hours before the storm got here.
None of these people could get back out. They became then a burden on the city and on the hotels.
And he says many hotels then proved not to be suitable hurricane shelters. So for the next storm, they're working with the airlines and the federal government to get extra planes in early and get all ticketed passengers out of the city. Dave Cohen for CBS News. New Orleans.
Rhode Island Congressman Patrick Kennedy is in a bit of trouble. Early this morning, he smashed his car into a security barricade in D.C. Police on the scene say they smelled booze, but their supervisors kept him from giving him a breathalyzer. The congressman says he was in a fender bender, but hadn't been on a bender himself, says he was not drunk. Thursday on Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 39 points. This is CBS News.
Do you know what I hate about running errands? The running of the errands, that's what. You'd think with all the modern technology at our fingertips, some scientist somewhere would have figured out a way to invent a transporter beam. But no, we're still waiting. We here at the U.S. Postal Service want you to know that we have invented the next best thing. Free carrier pickup. Just go to usps.com/smartbusiness. Pay for postage, print labels, and request a free carrier pickup. Then, one of our professionally trained letter carriers will pick up your packages next delivery day and ship them almost anywhere in the world. And you, my friend, are done. Done. Even better, we pick up your packages for free. Free. You know, when transporters are invented, they'll cost you buckets of moolah. Carrier pickup? Still free. Take that, technology. Visit usps.com/smartbusiness and request free carrier pickup. Only from the U.S. Postal Service.
Summer's coming. Looking for a little fun in the sun? Planning on wearing something skimpier than nun's habit? Then you'll want to know that sunscreen you're about to slather on may not protect you as well as you think.
Feeling confident your sunscreen protects you? Listen to these comments by a couple of top dermatologists.
The biggest problems with sunscreens in the United States right now is that they don't provide everything that we need from them.
Some very good ingredients are available in other countries that are not yet available here.
Doctors David Goldberg, who's also vice president of the Skin Cancer Foundation, and Daryl Regal. One of the European ingredients awaiting FDA approval is Mexico. Which Goldberg says protects against ultraviolet A exposure. One of the most important tips for any sunscreen you wind up with, apply often, every 2 hours. Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Home renovation is thirsty work. A construction crew in Hungary found a barrel of rum. They finished all of it only to find a pickled corpse at the bottom. The body had apparently been there for a while. Chris Mavridis, CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small or too large or too old or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
May I help you?
How much is this goldfish?
99 cents.
How's his temperament?
Huh?
Does he bite?
I don't think so.
Is he good with children?
Yeah,
can he do any tricks?
Well, he wiggles pretty good.
What if everything in life came with a 115-point inspection? Well, before we certify any Ford Lincoln Mercury pre-owned vehicle, it must first pass a rigorous point-by-point exam. Plus, all Ford Lincoln Mercury certified pre-owned vehicles come with a 6-year, 75,000-mile warranty, including 24-hour roadside assistance.
Is he allergic to seafood?
Just shellfish!
See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. We open up the phones to talk with you. You can call me about any issue, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. 831-899-5792 or toll free at 888-579-2540. And we had been scheduled to talk with John Nichols, who writes for The Nation, is a leader of the media reform movement, the co-author of a new book called Tragedy and Farce, and we can't find him. He may be out there in Madison, Wisconsin, or Washington, D.C. We're trying to track him down, and if we get him, we'll talk to him. But in the meantime, we're going to just assume that it's just you and me this hour. So my lines are open, and you can comment on any issue that we've been talking about or anything else in the news. Again, my number, 831-899-5792 if you're on the Central Coast. Or you can use the toll-free line from anywhere else at 1-888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. And there is a lot to talk about. We heard from Faz Shakir in our first segment today about new waves, as they're peeling back the onion in the Randy Cunningham conviction. We're learning about prostitutes and free limos and poker parties. One of the top three officials at the CIA has been a part of the good times there, although he says he never saw any prostitutes. And the Center for American Progress, the Daily Progress Report, is guessing that CIA Director Porter Goss may be implicated in some of these wild times. You know, he was a member of Congress before he was appointed to run the CIA. So that's open for conversation. And also, I often think about one of my listener critics, a guy named Brian from Prunedale. He's a conservative or Republican partisan. And he likes to call the program or email me to tweak me about his perceived, his perception of my failures. And on this program, we have talked on many occasions about corrupt Republicans. And whenever there's a hint of corruption related to a Democrat, Brian sends me screaming emails or calls and says, neener, neener, neener. So this is a preemptive strike, Brian. We did mention this earlier today on the program, but there is apparently a corrupt Democrat in the House of Representatives. And based on what I know, I'm prepared to say that he should resign immediately. His name is William J. Jefferson. He's from Louisiana. And a Kentucky businessman has pled guilty to bribing a public official and conspiracy to commit bribery. And he says he paid over $360,000 over a four-year period to a company controlled by the family of a member of Congress. That member is not named, but it is a clear reference to Mr. Jefferson. And if these allegations are sustained and based on the guilty plea, it's likely they will be. I have no tolerance for William J. Jefferson, and I urge him to resign immediately, as any other corrupt member of Congress should do. Give me a call, toll-free, 888-579-2540. Also, I mentioned that there was an interesting scene in Atlanta today where our Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, made a public appearance. And he was heckled by a member of the audience. I've heard the audio clip on our top-of-the-hour newscast, and it's very clear that a member of the audience interrupted his speech and declared that he was guilty of war crimes. I don't dispute her message, but it is a matter of fact that she heckled him. But the Associated Press uses that term to describe an exchange between Ray McGovern, who is a friend of this program, a man who spent 27 years as an analyst at the CIA, and who has been a very credible and sharp critic of the foreign policy of this administration. And there was a question and answer period at the end of Rumsfeld's speech at the Southern Center for International Studies. And Ray McGovern, who was apparently authorized to ask a question because he was a member of the audience and he was called upon, asked Rumsfeld, "Why did you lie to get us into a war that caused these kinds of casualties and was not necessary?" Rumsfeld shot back, "I did not lie." And then he waved off security guards who were trying to eject Ray McGovern from the hall. And the exchange continued. I've heard a little bit of it, but it's not documented here in this AP story. Well, let me see. Ah, there's more. When security guards tried removing McGovern during his persistent questions of Rumsfeld, the defense secretary told them to let him stay. The two continued to spar. "You're getting plenty of play," Rumsfeld told McGovern. Responding to another protester who also accused him of lying, the secretary said such accusations are so wrong, so unfair, and so destructive. He said, "I guess one thing I'd say is that my mom was a school teacher and my dad read history voraciously, and I guess I adopted some of those patterns of reading history." Okay. What does that mean, Rummy? What does it mean? I don't know. You can give me a call, 831-899-5792, or toll-free at 888-579-2540. And a couple of interesting things that James Pena, who is our board operator and a producer today, he directed me to Truth and crooksandliars.com. And there is a clip of a story that is being broadcast on Hardball on MSNBC tonight. And the gist of it is that these Iraqis who have been trained by Americans as members of the armed services of Iraq. At a graduation, they all, at least a group of them, ripped off their clothes in protest over an assignment. James, if you got that ready, let's listen to part of that. Go ahead and play it. This is a very interesting development. Oh, it didn't load. Well, see if you can get it to work and let me know. Matthew says, this is a transcript, when they found out they wouldn't be serving right there in Fallujah near their homes, look what they did. They started ripping off their uniforms. They say, we won't go. Well, this is just another setback for the Bush administration, which claims that everything's just ducky in Iraq and the training of both police and military is on track and is going to be the key to our exit strategy. All right, we got it now. Let's listen. Trying to get the computer to play over the radio right now.
It should be playing. It's not playing.
Yeah, we can't hear it. Maybe you don't have the right input press there. Program and audition. I'm not sure. Let's see if we can hear this.
I think we have the picture ready that might grab their attention. Let's take a look at American advisors. Counting on Iraqi forces, we all know, to take over the fight for us over there. Here's what happened when 1,000 new Iraqi soldiers assembled near Fallujah for a graduation ceremony this Sunday. When they found out they wouldn't be serving right there in Fallujah near their homes, but look what they did. They started ripping off their uniforms. They said, we won't go. McTrainer. Those are the people we're betting our future on.
Chris, I have to laugh when I see this because I'm pretty sure soldiers and Marines looking at that said, Jesus, I wish I could have done that when the sergeant told me I was going to go to Miami Beach.
Well, what do we make of their general officers there, General, who are standing around befuddled? I don't know what the right word is. Gee whiz, this isn't the work in the way it's supposed to. These guys are supposed to be saluting and heading off to their next posting. Instead, they're saying, hell no, we won't go, like they're there's somebody from the 60s here in the United States.
Well, this is not.
Okay, that's enough of that. And I just love that cackle in there in the middle. Ha! The Chris Matthews signature. Ha! Somebody strangle him for me, will you? Allison Humboldt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air.
Well, Peter, I love your program. I want to do something that I have asked of your friend Tom Hartman.
Okay.
Whenever you talk to a member of or a candidate for office, ask them to think about the problem with the voting machines.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you happen to be listening a little over an hour ago when we had State Senator Deborah Ortiz on the show, candidate for Secretary of State?
No, I just got home from a meeting.
Well, we invited her on the program. Mm-hmm. She's opposing Deborah Bowen, who's also been on the show on many occasions.
Uh-huh.
And I have to tell you that Senator Ortiz did not distinguish herself in responding to my questions about voting machines.
Oh, really?
And in fact, it prompted a listener, Eric, to reply in an email, what is she smoking? Peter B., I just caught the last part of your interview with Senator Ortiz, and something she said puzzled me. She seems to think there would be greater chance for fraud and error to occur in elections where either a system of hand-counting paper ballots or a system of voting completely by mail-in ballot rather than elections using Diebold machines, which have been proven to have major problems. How can she say that, given the fact that it only takes one person to hack into the computerized system in order to swing the voting percentages for an entire state, and that with paper ballots, there is at least a trail that can be audited after the fact?
Yeah.
So, Eric, you get it, and I have to say my impression is Senator Ortiz doesn't.
Yeah, that's right.
So, well, Alice, thank you for your tip, and I'm doing my best to,
I know you are.
To serve your interests on a
and
daily basis.
I approve of you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're a gentleman.
All right, Alice.
Okay.
And gentle lady, thank you for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
We're in the free speech zone, and your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere. Give me a call. The toll-free line works nationwide, 888-579-2540. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
So tell me, Norma, just who is this Robert Owen who is running for sheriff of Monterey County?
Robert Owen lives in Soledad, and he has 30 years of experience in law enforcement. Robert Owen is a Maury County jail sergeant who has dedicated his life to protect and serve every Maury County resident. Robert Owen is a devoted and loving father of five children. I should know because Robert Owen is my husband, and he will be the finest sheriff Maury County has ever had.
Paid for by Robert Owen, candidate for Monterey County Sheriff.
This week on Rock Roller Real Estate, meet Louis Basil. Louis is the president of Jamestown Real Estate. He'll be talking about how easy it is to invest in the Florida and North Carolina markets and that now is the time. For more information on this show, call 415-830-2496. That's 415-830-2496. Rock Roller Real Estate, heard all over Northern California, Sunday mornings at 10.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
It's Behind the Wheel, the consumer new car review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 BMW X5, the larger of BMW's two SUV models. My demo was assembled in the Bavarian town called Spartanburg, South Carolina, and about half the parts were made in Germany. It's got a fuel-injected 3-liter, 6-cylinder engine and a 5-speed automatic, has adequate power and acceleration. The X5 handles well, has a smooth ride, not as squishy as some of Detroit's SUVs. It's loaded with all the power toys you'd expect, including a moonroof, a navigation system that's pretty easy to use, and a premium sound system. In most respects, the X5 is comparable to the Explorer or Pathfinder with a higher price tag. By the numbers, the 2006 BMW X5 gets 16 miles in the city, 21 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $55,000. I'm Peter B. Collins.
KRXA 540 looks at your traffic ride home. It's 520 now, and here's Amy Knight.
The reports of some construction clearing in Gonzales, North 101 at 5th Street. The right lane coned off, and there's a 2-mile delay in the area. In Watsonville, Lewis Court at Lewis Road, an injury accident with an overturned van. You'll find emergency crews responding. And northbound one at Airport Boulevard. Watch out for a large wooden box that's fallen off a truck and split apart in the lanes. No problems to report right now on Highway 68, and it looks like 17 checks and clears through the Santa Cruz Mountains. Look for the Panasonic Circular in Sunday's San Jose Mercury News for exciting offers and promotions and for rebates from Comcast on the purchase of Panasonic products and Comcast services. Don't miss it. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy. We'll check back in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning on the Stephanie Miller Show right here. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. You can email me, peter@peterbcollins.com, or humblehost@peterbcollins.com, or himself@peterbcollins.com, or if you're not happy with what I'm saying, try bigmouth@peterbcollins.com. My phone lines are open for your comments. We're here in the Free Speech Zone. Central Coast number 831-899-5792. If you're in Eureka or listening online anywhere across the country, it's toll-free 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. Lots to talk about. All you got to do is call me and we'll chat. Sherry in West Haven, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. I'm enjoying your show.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
And I've been mulling over, I was thinking about the Democratic platform that you were discussing, what the Democrats need to focus on. And
right, with Paul Waldman.
Right, and I'm thinking really what they're missing is probably the backbone of America and probably the majority of people in this country, which is the soon-to-be-extinct middle class.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if they appeal to that and let them know that they're being squeezed out, and, you know, if you want a country that's going to be royalty and serfs, where we all serve the rich people and everything's for them, then you should vote for Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
It's been made pretty clear, I think, that that's where they're standing, and they just have to make it clear to the majority of the voters in this country.
Well, Sherry, I fully agree with you. To me, the most pivotal event of the last few years was the bankruptcy court ruling that permitted United Airlines to say never mind about its pensions. And mm-hmm. that is a process that we're going to see repeated. And so corporate America is wriggling out of its contracts, its obligations to workers for both health care and pension benefits. And we're seeing a dramatic reversal. And while the rich tax cuts, the tax cuts for the rich have not trickled down to the middle class, our incomes have not grown. There's been a net loss of a couple of percentage points to the average American household. And our costs have gone up. Tuition at public higher education institutions, the cost of health insurance, the uninsured, even for people who have insurance, the copays and premiums have gone up sharply.
Exactly. So
and
if
I'm a member.
Any raise at all,
yeah,
probably just covers that, or maybe not. So you're going backwards.
I'm a member of a union that has what we call a portable benefits plan,
mm-hmm.
and that means when I worked for ABC, it fed into my pension. When I worked for CBS, it fed into the same pension.
Right.
And we've been decimated by the weak performance of the stock market. And by, that's on the pension side, and by the sharp escalation in health care costs. And as a result, in my union, you used to qualify for full family health care benefits, completely paid, you know, with just like a $500 a year annual deductible.
Right.
With $10,000 or $15,000 of earnings.
Right. And that was very common in a lot of jobs of any country, of any company of any size.
Right.
You know,
and so,
expected that.
Now, you and I agree rationally mm-hmm. about those issues. Here's the conundrum,
okay.
and it was powerfully explained in Thomas Frank's book called What's the Matter with Kansas?
Mm-hmm.
And that is, since the mid-'80s, since Reagan, demonized liberals and then locked out the air traffic controllers and sent that message to organized labor,
right.
what we have seen is the specter of middle-class working Americans voting against their basic self-interest, their economic interest, because of appeals that are based on this master narrative that Paul Waldman identifies, that the Republican Party is more in sync with those interests. And I don't buy it, but too many people across the country do. So how do we deal with that?
I'm not sure that they do now.
Okay.
I think it's finally getting down to a personal level that they are now seeing affecting them. Like you said, they're noticing now that their health care benefit costs are going up, the deductible is going up. They're seeing that they're not having any money for their schools, for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to see how much they're paying for gas. They're starting to hear the huge windfall profits of the oil company. And I think they're starting to feel it more in their pocketbook on a personal level now. And they might be willing to really pay more attention and listen.
I hope you're right, Sherry. Thanks a lot for your call today. Good to have you listening. Ed and Aptos, you're next here on the PBC show. Go right ahead.
Hey, I first want you to know that the video monster got your DVD, but I'm going to obtain another copy. And
it was chewed up by your DVD player, huh?
No. It just disappeared into some
okay.
big netherland.
Well, if you can, I'd appreciate it, because that was the only copy of 9/11 in Plain Sight that I had. I can get another copy of Loose Change, but not that one.
Okay. Well, so I talked to somebody who said they had a copy, so they said they'd get
Great.
It to me. What I was thinking of was, I was wondering, you know, the fuel crisis. I think one way to get around this is to start a new oil company with the government help and let them subsidize it and you know have a real true competition to the oil cartel that we have in the United States.
Well, Ed, if you like that, why don't you just move to Bolivia?
Well, you know, I was seriously thinking of moving somewhere else. if my family and everything, you know, my roots weren't here, I would have been there in a heartbeat. Or
I mean, I don't dispute your idea. The problem is when you see it played out, the state-owned oil companies, say Pemex in Mexico, you know, they have a monopoly there. Now, maybe if they operated in competition with the global multinationals, you know, it might have an interesting effect.
Well,
the problem is it's hard to imagine in the current context, even if we replaced all the Republicans with Democrats, that we could build any kind of a social or nationalized system like that.
Well, you take the oil pipeline, that the oil that they've purchased that are refraining at this time, I know damn well they didn't pay $70 a gallon for it.
You're absolutely right about that. There's also no worldwide shortage of crude. There's plenty of crude on our shores right now.
And, you know, talk about shortages. I've never been not able to buy gasoline for my car, although I have had to pay more for it, but it doesn't mean that there's a shortage of it. It just means
right.
that they generate these scarcities, they say.
Exactly. I think it's a contrived shortage because they control all the refineries.
Exactly.
Ed, I'm out of time. Thanks for your call today. More calls coming up next in the Free Speech Zone, 888-579-2540. Visit peterbcollins.com if you dare.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. Join R.J. Moyer for his new weekend show about college funding this Saturday at 10 a.m. on KRXA 540. R.J. Moyer brings to the microphone a unique perspective on the benefits of a college education, and he shares with you his knowledge on how to substantially reduce your out-of-pocket college expenses.
This is R.J. Moyer. Join me for About College Funding, Saturday morning at 10 on KRXA 540, sponsored in part by The Potting Shed in Aptos.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The following is a political advertisement. Congressman Sam Farr has been working to protect our environment. Now he needs your help. Republican Richard Pombo is leading the effort to drill for oil off the California coastline. Join Congressman Farr this Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. in Carmel Valley at a reception in support for Steve Filson's campaign to unseat Richard Pombo. Steve Filson is a former Navy fighter pilot and an American patriot who will join Congressman Farr to protect our coast. Tickets are $50. Please call 925-648-9211 or visit filsonforcongress.com. Paid for by Steve Filson for Congress.
Salt means that our investigation turned up nothing.
If somebody testifies lying before a grand jury, doesn't mean he's involved.
It is flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and to declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men or three women can rule. Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis. I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome. Lines available at the moment, 888-579-2540, toll-free. That's 888-579-2540. And on the Central Coast, it's a local call at 831-899-5792. Joining us now is Michael Ratner. He's president of the Center for Constitutional Rights based in New York, and he's heading to the left coast tomorrow. Hello, Michael.
Good morning. Good evening, Peter. I keep thinking it's going to be morning over there, but hello.
It will be tomorrow. We bring you morning in America.
Right.
Yeah. First of all, I want our new listeners in Sacramento on 1240 Talk City, KSAC, to know a little bit about the Center for Constitutional Rights. We've just started on that station, Michael, and some of the listeners there in Sacramento may want to sally over to Davis on Friday evening, where you have a very special program with Amy Goodman of Democracy Now.
Yeah, we do. We have a great program. Amy Goodman, myself, Al McCoy, who's the author of an amazing book called The Question of Torture, and then Chaplain Yee, who people may remember was originally accused of espionage at Guantanamo, Muslim chaplain,
mm-hmm.
And eventually, of course, was completely acquitted of everything and is no longer in the military. And it's to really discuss Guantanamo, have a conversation about it, that, and torture, and where we're going in this country.
Some very interesting developments just today and in the last week, and let me tick them off and get your comments. First of all, Amnesty International released a 32,000-word report today, and it tells us a lot that we already knew, but it also asserts that when it comes to torture at U.S. facilities like Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib and the murky gulag, the locations of which are not all known by the American public so far, that this was authorized at the very highest levels. Next item, Donald Rumsfeld gave a speech in Atlanta today, and Ray McGovern, who is a principled man, a very courageous veteran of the CIA, in the question and answer period, spoke up and challenged the Secretary of Defense on his honesty regarding the war and policies, probably including torture. And finally, your organization, the Center for Constitutional Rights, won an important victory in the courts last week, and you have a team of attorneys on your way to Guantanamo to visit with a client, Salim Adem. So we see interesting developments in terms of public awareness of this pattern of torture attributed to the highest-ranking authorities in our government. And still, your work is paying off with at least some relief from the courts.
Some relief, but it's been a slow process. Our clients have been in Guantanamo bordering on 4.5 years now, and we're only beginning to get some of our lawyers down there. It's been a few months we've been getting lawyers down there. As you said, we won a case last week allowing another one of our lawyers to get to a client, but the government fights us every inch of the way. I think the amnesty report that you mentioned is obviously important. We've known for a long time that this started with higher-ups. There's been memos, authorizations from Rumsfeld to use dogs, to use stress positions. We know of the secret CIA sites. So it's really a gathering together a lot of the facts that we in the world know, and this administration has gone out of its way to prosecute lower-level military people and not go up the chain of command. So it's been, in some way I feel the administration is unraveling on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
The only question is when we really are going to be able to be effective and do something about it.
And, Michael, do you feel that you have struck a chord, not you personally or just CCR, but those of you who have been fighting these issues of basic fundamental justice for the rights of these accused individuals, do you feel that the American people are still rather oblivious to these concerns?
You know, I don't think they're as aware and as angry and as upset about it as they should be. I mean, I think it's their feeling that they're being made safer somehow by torturing non-citizen Muslims around the world, and they sort of want to look the other way. I mean, people generally oppose torture, but when you ask it in a specific context of, ticking time bomb sort of scenario, then they don't oppose it. And, of course, the government or the administration has been good on trying to sell that scenario. I do think we're making headway on it. Certainly a lot of the international institutions have utterly condemned the U.S., all of our human rights groups have. But when you look at how the president has gotten away in the national security wiretapping, the warrantless tapping, I mean, even the Democrats have run from the issue. I mean, I find it just, it's appalling to me. It's really appalling how far off this country has gone in terms of what I considered fundamental rights.
Yeah, Russ Feingold should not just be standing there, to paraphrase the Godfather movie, with his microphone in his hand.
No, that's correct. He should be surrounded by Democrats saying, we support Feingold, we support censure on warrantless wiretapping. Instead, they ducked out the back door and wouldn't make any comments. And this is a fundamental right. This is a right that goes back to the Constitution, the right that you have to not be essentially inspected, intruded upon without a warrant from a court. And yet, you saw our Democrats, most of them, just turn tail. So we're at a rough moment. On the other hand, I've noticed that, we wrote an article on impeachment called Articles of Impeachment against George W. Bush, and that has actually caused a lot of really support in the country.
Yeah.
I mean, surprising number of people are interested in impeachment. It's going on really all over the country.
Very interesting on that score. Legislators in the state, at the state level in Vermont and Illinois, have introduced resolutions, and if they're passed, it is a remarkable undiscovered manner for a bill of impeachment to arrive in Washington. And we have to credit a blogger who discovered that in Thomas Jefferson's rules for the House of Representatives.
It is remarkable.
Michael Ratner is with us from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Wants you to know about their website, ccr-ny.org. That's ccr-ny.org. And the book about the articles of impeachment that Michael Ratner just referred to is prominently displayed on the home page. And I encourage you to take a look at that, because it lays out very clear in black and white the basis for impeachment of Bush and Cheney. Interesting item surfaced last weekend, Michael, at the Democratic State Convention in Sacramento, where the Progressive Caucus presented a panel on impeachment with Maxine Waters and others. And Maxine and some of the other panelists have proposed the idea of trying to impeach Cheney prior to Bush as a way of allaying fears that we would wind up with President Cheney if there were a successful impeachment of the president. What do you think of that strategy?
Well, I think what's exciting about it is that people are really beginning to think about this as a serious alternative. Whether it's Bush or Cheney or Bush and Cheney together, people understand that it's not just the problem of the war, it's not just the problem of Guantanamo, it's not just the problem of Katrina, that we have an administration that is essentially running a gamut from either being incompetent to criminal, certainly one that violates the Constitution, and I think it's great. In fact, I was invited out to that forum, but I just figured, how many trips to California can I make?
And, Michael, I took a little solace in the wisdom of the jury in the penalty phase of the Moussaoui trial, because they rejected the smokescreen erected by our government using an amazing and bizarre set of legal arguments to try to connect this wayward al-Qaeda member to the events of 9/11. And I was pleased that the jury, in my view, made the proper decision. Your comment?
I agree with you. When I saw it this morning and I read through the verdict sheet, I said there's maybe hope for us in America, because here the government piled on, scores of people who had lost relatives. They brought in pictures of the World Trade Center. They tried to link him with that. And they tried to give him the death penalty. They even tried to manipulate witnesses to make sure he would get the death penalty.
They trotted out Rudy Giuliani.
That's right. I forgot that. And the jury saw through it and made a sensible verdict, realizing that this was just, they were pushing this case too far. That, for all I know, the jury thought the man just wasn't all there, or they certainly looked at his background and they looked at the lack of connection with the World Trade Center, and they said this is just too weak a case for the death penalty. Pretty remarkable, and does restore hope. I agree. I talked about it with my kids tonight, and I said this is something. They saw through this.
Yeah. We also are seeing potential jury misconduct in the conviction won last week against Hamid Hayat, the part of the Lodi Mosque investigation with an FBI informer who, in my view, framed this misguided 23-year-old Pakistani-American. And a juror has come forward saying she was pressured to convict. So that's an interesting sidelight.
Also interesting. Seemed like another overtried case, a very sad case in my view.
Yeah. One final thing I'll ask you, Michael Ratner, and that is on the heels of the Moussaoui case, a number of people have come forward and argued that, you know, the real people we would like to see at trial include Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who is alleged to be the mastermind of the 9/11 attacks. And it's widely believed that we're not pursuing his prosecution because he has been tortured in our custody. We don't even know which detention center he is being held at, but he is alleged to be in American custody. But they won't put him on trial, even in the funky monkey military tribunals that have been set up at Guantanamo. What are your thoughts about that?
It would be surprising if he hadn't been tortured. I mean, even the, you know, the torture that took place at Guantanamo, which we're aware of, but at these CIA secret sites, you know, torture was quite routine, and they obviously would have a real problem trying to get independent evidence from that torture to try him. The Moussaoui trial does show me that they can try these people, that you can, apart from the torture issue, that their whole argument that you have to have special tribunals or you have to have secret detention facilities or you can never try them, I think is just tossed out the window. You can, it's difficult, but you can try them and think, and really, if we think about our country, what really positive, it really sends a relatively positive message to me that we actually put a person on trial, went through a jury trial, at least on the penalty phase, and they found him should get the death penalty. I mean, should get the life imprisonment.
Right.
It is a testament that we could actually do that, and I just don't understand why we don't do it in the rest of the cases if we have evidence against people.
Michael Ratner, president of the Center for Constitutional Rights. Again, he and Amy Goodman and others are appearing in Davis tomorrow evening. Is that at the
Freedom? It's called Freeborn Hall.
Freeborn Hall. Okay.
At Davis. It should be big. It's about 1,200 people it holds, and it should be a really interesting evening.
And start time is?
7 to 9.
7 to 9 p.m. That's at UC Davis Friday night. And Michael Ratner, thank you for your work. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Peter.
All right. Always a pleasure to talk with you. We're going to take a break and return. Have room for your calls. Any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere. Give me a call toll free, 888-579-2540. That's 888-579-2540. It's 45 minutes past the hour. And this is the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 AM from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
There are many ways fathers are involved in their children's lives. There are stay-at-home dads, working dads, and fathers who are separated from their kids through divorce or other circumstances. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me to discuss the ways fathers stay connected with their children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
We all have dreams, and dreams inspire possibilities in our lives. For many of us, one of our principal dreams is to live in harmony with our natural environment, to convert that sacred space we call home into a physical representation of our true nature.
Hi, I'm Peter Eichhorn, owner of Eichhorn Incorporated, a company dedicated to the designing and creating of ecologically sound masonry projects to fulfill your particular desires and needs. Let me work with you to make your dreams real and your dwelling an enchanting, personalized home, one with nature, a true reflection of your inner desires. Make this new year special, and let me assist you in your quest. I have a lifetime of experience, I'm honest, my prices are affordable, and I love what I do. Call me at 393-1300. That's 393-1300.
KRXA 540 checks your traffic one more time at 547. Here's Amy Knight.
Been a busy afternoon in Prunedale, South 101 before Echo Valley Road. A broken down vehicle partially blocking the right lane. Much further down, South 101 before Espinosa Road and Salinas, cardboard boxes in the left lane. And if you're traveling southbound 1 after Carpenter Street in Carmel, watch out for a can of paint thinner spilled in the lanes. In Watsonville, Lewis Court at Lewis Road, an overturned van still clearing, but no injuries reported. And if you're on Highway 17, we're looking good throughout the entire Santa Cruz Mountain.
All our listeners are looking good.
Yeah. This Mother's Day, give your mother more than just a gift. Name a star after her. Call the International Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit starregistry.com. I'm going to call it Peter, the absolutely great-looking star. Amy Knight with traffic on KRXA 540.
Thanks, Amy.
Sure.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Free speech zone available to you right now. 888-579-2540, toll free. I hope our Sacramento listeners and anybody else who is so motivated will show up in Davis tomorrow night for that event for the Center for Constitutional Rights. They're doing a lot of great work, and the more people know about our government's torture policies, the better off we'll all be. Billy, hold the line. We're going to get to you in just a moment. But I want to thank Eric, an online listener in San Francisco, who dropped me a link. And if we're going to listen here and see what we get. But I believe this is the exchange between Ray McGovern and Donald Rumsfeld in Atlanta earlier today. James, you can hit it.
For international studies. And, of course, within the speech came a few protesters.
We don't want to hear it. Anger.
And so I would like to ask you to be upfront with the American people. Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has caused these kinds of casualties? Yeah. Why?
Well, first of all, I haven't lied. I did not lie then. Colin Powell didn't lie. He spent weeks and weeks with the Central Intelligence Agency people and prepared a presentation that I know he believed was accurate. And he presented that to the United Nations.
He doesn't believe it anymore.
The president spent weeks and weeks with the Central Intelligence people. And he went to the American people and made a presentation. I'm not in the intelligence business. They gave the world their honest opinion. It appears that there were not weapons of mass destruction there.
You said you knew where they were.
I did not. I said I knew where suspect sites were, and we were just.
You said you knew where they were, near Tikrit, near Baghdad, and north, east, south, and west of there. Those are your words.
My words were that. No. Wait a minute. Let him stay one second. Just a second.
This is America, huh?
So Rumsfeld is telling the guards to let Ray stay.
Plenty of play, sir.
I just like an honest answer.
I'm giving it to you.
We're talking about lies and your allegation that there was bulletproof evidence of ties between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Was that a lie or were you misled?
Zarqawi was in Baghdad during the pre-war period. That is a fact.
Zarqawi? He was in the north of Iraq in a place where Saddam Hussein had no rule.
That's where he was. He was also in Baghdad.
Yeah, when he needed to go to the hospital. Come on, these people aren't idiots. They know the story.
You are...
Go, Ray. Go.
Let me give you an example. It's easy for you to make a charge, but why do you think that the men and women in uniform every day when they came out of Kuwait and went into Iraq, put on chemical weapon protective suits because they liked the style. They honestly believed that there were chemical weapons.
Yeah,
Saddam Hussein had used chemical weapons on his own people previously. He'd used them on his neighbor, the Iranians, and they believed he had those weapons. We believed he had those weapons.
That's what we call a non sequitur. It doesn't matter what the troops believe. It matters what you believe.
I think, Mr. Secretary, the debate is over. We have other questions, courtesy to the audience.
Oh, they had to say that.
I guess over here.
That's it. Thank you, James. Well, that's a very interesting exchange, and I couldn't be more proud of Ray McGovern because he didn't back down. And Rumsfeld's a very smart guy, and he did his best to dodge the question in the manner that he's become accustomed to, which is you don't answer the question directly. You say what you want to say in response to a question that's posed. And that's what he attempted to do. And McGovern, you know, did his best. He was in a very uneven situation, standing on the floor talking to the man behind the podium who clearly had control of the room and the security guards. And, I just think it's terrific to see that kind of an exchange. We need more accountability. And when you think of the British system, where the Prime Minister goes before the Parliament for question time almost every week, our folks get off way too easy. Billy in Capitola, thanks for holding on. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And that crazy radical who was saying that was a CIA employee of the last 27 years?
He's been retired since the mid-90s, and Ray McGovern's been on our show on many occasions. He's quite a guy, very committed.
So he's not just some long-bearded kid who's making trouble, is he?
No, he's not.
So one of the ways in which we try to protest possibly how fouled up our country is, how we've lost our democracy, how our presidents and our Secretary of Defense has lied to us, is we might want to burn a flag. But today, they moved it forward some more, it passed the Senate committee now, this flag amendment. Oh, by the way, brought to us, of course, at the House of Representatives by a guy named Randall Duke Cunningham. That's the kind of guy who tries to get laws like that passed. He pretends to be a patriot, and what he is a thief.
And, Billy, let's acknowledge who's in cahoots with him, Senator Dianne Feinstein and Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton.
Yeah.
They support.
It's really a pity that there are Democrats who are so weak. You had somebody on talking earlier about how the Democrats have to find some cojones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, liberals have ideals. Democrats need balls.
You're absolutely right. And, Billy, let me reach over here.
Reach.
And grab the book, because for the benefit of listeners who may not have been tuned in earlier, I want to read the power paragraph from this book you referred to by Paul Waldman. He was on our show last hour. If Democrats are serious about winning, they have to approach the next presidential election with this in mind. They must do to the Republican nominee, whoever he may be, what Republicans did to past Democratic nominees. In other words, he must be taken down. Not just out-argued or outworked, but torn limb from limb, discredited to the point where no Republican will want to be seen with him in public. That can be done ethically and honestly. There's no need to make up stories or distort records or proposals. But here's the key phrase. It must be done without mercy.
Exactly. That says it perfectly.
And all too often, Democrats blanch, blink, and retreat. And if we really believe in our values and our positions, we've got to go, you know, not for the throat in an unethical way, but we got to play hand-to-hand combat the way they do.
We don't need to go unethical. We have every possible, it's laid out for us like a smorgasbord. But we have to pound it home. We can't be nice about it, but we don't have to lie about it. They're so corrupt. It's so easy to turn out the Republicans. Only a fool will blow it. But I'm afraid that these people are foolish because when it comes to guts, they don't have any. Politics has made, look what it's done to John McCain, a hero in war, a gutless wonder on the campaign trail.
And Colbert nailed him in one sentence the other night at that dinner. He said, oh, Senator McCain's here. I got a place in South Carolina. Why don't you drop by on your next visit to Bob Jones University?
You know what the bottom line of this was going to be? they're not going to come out anymore. Bush won't, they can't control the crowds 100%, so they won't come out. You won't see the Secretary of Defense speaking anymore because truth is dangerous.
You're probably right, Billy. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, buddy.
Always good to talk to you. John Nichols couldn't make it on the show today, but I want to quote a brief segment from his current article in the April 24th edition of The Nation. It's about Congress after Tom DeLay. He said, DeLay elected its members, and he trained them to play politics by a set of rules so perverse and so perverting that most of them have been rendered incapable of changing the way they do business. Even if some Republicans attempt a public rebranding, they will remain bound to the electoral infrastructure that DeLay created, a web of PACs, educational projects, and charities designed not just to shake the corporate money tree, but to reap votes from the Christian fundamentalist base DeLay courted, even to the point of aligning the party leadership with the narrow minority view that Terry Schiavo must be kept technically alive in a persistent vegetative state.
We Democrats lost the last election, and to our party things did not look right. But now our long despair is done. We look good by comparison to one guy on the right. What a difference DeLay makes. Though the left lacks excitement, they don't have an indictment like that guy Tom DeLay. He denies depictions, says it's all crucifixion. He's a man with convictions.
I'm Peter B. Collins. I want to thank you for listening. We're going to do this again tomorrow, same time, same station. I hope you'll be with us then. And we're going to find out if tomorrow is the first day of Fitzmas and if the expected indictments will be announced against Karl Rove. I know I'll be here. I hope you won't miss a minute. This is Peter B. Thank you for listening. Visit peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Chris Mavridis. When hecklers interrupt political speeches, they're usually hauled off. In Atlanta, one guy stood up looking for answers from Donald Rumsfeld. They were just about to give him the heave-ho when...
Wait a minute. Let him stay 1 second.
Your allegation that there was bulletproof evidence of ties between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. Was that a lie, or were you misled?
Zarqawi was in Baghdad during the pre-war period. That is a fact.
But that heckler knew his stuff. He is a former CIA analyst.
He was in the north of Iraq in a place where Saddam Hussein had no rule.
He was also in Baghdad.
Come on, these people aren't idiots. Yes. They know the story.
Rumsfeld, who talked more about Zarqawi, was interrupted two more times, once by someone who called the defense secretary a war criminal and called for his impeachment. Speaking of Zarqawi... That's him on videotape. Parts of it were released this week. This is more of it. Leading other terrorists in a go team chant, then showing him playing with his gun. At one point, that gun jammed. He couldn't fix it himself and had to have one of his cronies do it for him. Another admitted terrorist will never, ever feel the steely power of a gun or breathe free air or hang with his pals again. Zacharias Moussaoui was handed a one-way ticket to prison in a fancy ride. That's him leaving court in Alexandria, Virginia for the last time after being formally sentenced to a life in solitary confinement.
Finally getting a chance to have her say Judge Lainey Brinkema lectured Moussaoui. You will spend the rest of your life in prison, she told him. You will never again get a chance to speak, and that is a fair and appropriate ending. Saying this trial provides evidence of the, quote, enduring strength of this nation, she declared, we believe all persons are created equal. The system works.
At CBS's Barry Bagnato in Alexandria, Moussaoui will likely be locked up in Colorado's Supermax facility, home to some of America's biggest and baddest bad guys. Uh-oh, CBS's Gloria Borger says there's trouble for a Kennedy.
Police say Congressman Patrick Kennedy, driving with his lights off, smashed into a security barricade, almost hitting a police cruiser. The responding officers say that when their bosses arrived on the scene, they kept them from even giving the congressman a breathalyzer.